This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, 7 o'clock in central Arizona. That's where we are, Phoenix to be exact. Thank you for listening. This is The Show with Clayton McKee. And currently, as you can see, if you're watching just from the audio feed, it's the Clayton and Al show at this point.
Yeah, everyone's worst nightmare come true.
Which is really just going to be me listening to you going, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Marnie and Aaron are on the way. They are
well, they're on Marnie and Ernie time.
Apparently. And I guess when they're together, it's worse. I was always hopeful that, you know, with the two of them, like, they could champion each other and get themselves somewhere get them to the church on time.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Apparently not.
No.
Not
wrong,
happening.
Wrong church.
Exactly. Katie June is out this week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. She has an HRC function that she's going to tonight with her wife, and she had to do that, and it was on a Tuesday, so that's quite all right. She's out for this week. So when the other two get here, and it's just lovely when you see the shot of us now, because it's just a big open shot of just you and I. And
no, wide open space.
That's it. Oh, you have a wine as normal this evening. What are you drinking?
It's a Chardonnay from Mecon Village. I think I have no idea. I'm terrible at French, so we'll just pretend that's how you pronounce it.
Well, did you find it at some fancy place?
No. It's my usual $12.99 bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Available in the imported section of Safeway. But it is
the bullshit section.
It is actually one of my favorites, and this might actually be from Total Wine. Like, sometimes I go to Total Wine just to see if they have it for cheaper.
Yeah.
Because I really do like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tasty and reasonably priced at $12.99.
There was something else that we found that was like a $4 or $5 bottle you were drinking the other couple weeks that you liked.
Yeah, and then I went back to this and I realized it's $8.
Got it.
But no, that Barefoot shit was, I think it was Barefoot. But that was a special, because I think it's normally like $8.99. That was like
gotcha.
That was like a one-time only.
A special deal. Got it. Well, of course, I have my Crown and Diet, and then I'm backing it up with, I went to Lux earlier today, and I got a mocha latte, but I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to drink a little of this down, and I'm going to put some of that coffee tequila in this that we still have left from,
nice
I thought
chance.
That might be a nice little addition to it. But anyway, we are here. I don't even know. Let's see. Let's take a little gander because we can and see who's listening abroad, and hopefully we have... Oh, well, again, New Zealand is in there listening. Hi, everybody from New Zealand, whoever you are. Of course, the people from...
Tomo.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is Tomo.
Yeah.
My bad.
Hopefully, in France and company.
And there is one that says unknown. And so the app just doesn't know what country it's from. And they've literally been listening 2 minutes. So I don't know where... If you're listening and want to say hi in the chat room, please do so. Let us know where you are listening from. And if at all possible, why? Oh.
That's always good to ask people.
Why would you waste this much time?
What's,
so much.
What's missing?
I don't know.
We'll do the Dr. Laura. Tell us what's wrong.
What's wrong with you? How can I help?
So,
what was it on Frasier? He always used to say, "Hello, Seattle. How can I help?"
I'm listening. That was the signature.
You know what
thing.
I'm trying to do? And for those of you watching, this is the first week I'm wearing the new glasses with this.
Oh, they look very nice, by the way.
Thank you.
I can't mean to say it.
But they are worthless to me in this situation. Because you're all far too close to me. Because it blurs you because you're too close. This is for further distance.
Oh,
And for reading. And for everything that's here. I do my scripts in such large print. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, you're going to be the lady looking down her nose at you.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I don't need that.
I work with a guy. And he has the same problem. They must be for reading. Because when he talks to you, he's always looking down his nose. And he's much taller than me. He's a 6-something or other. And but there's a guy that works with us that's the same height, and he's always mad at him. And I'm like, why are you mad at him? What did he do? And he goes, he's always looking down his fucking nose at me. And it's just because he tilts his head and looks down the glasses, and it does
appear.
I guess if you're that tall and equal height, it does look kind of condescending and rude. But to me, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just looking up your nose, so I don't know what the fuck's going on.
No, but the thing with these glasses, they literally are just for real close-up reading and far away. But to hear, I don't need any of that. That's fine. What's up, Marnie? Hi.
Hi.
Well, we're good. What's you look very confused now.
Hola.
It's the same studio. Things, not much has changed.
No?
Yeah, no. It's
hasn't at all.
No, it's good. What was not? Doing. Ernie went to the kitchen. We're not doing food again, are we?
Ernie spilled
Ernie spilled on herself.
Oh, right. No.
We weren't going to do food.
Red
but...
wine on my favorite shirt. Can I put it in your sink?
Yeah.
And you know what? It's powder blue.
I don't care.
Cold water.
I always believe in cold water.
Good luck with that.
Just because it's Arizona, so it always turns hot.
You're not going to do food, but?
We were not going to do food, but I cooked, and I was not going to leave it sitting there. So
gotcha.
We brought it, and y'all can have some.
Okay. Well, there's that. You don't have to ask me twice to eat. I'm pretty good at that. I think I've said this before. I don't recognize... I think I've seen the hat before, and I think every time I see it, I act like I don't remember it. Because it's got the green...
Brand new.
Oh, it is brand new.
Yeah, because...
Oh, but the other Twin Cities hat, right?
Oh, there. it's a Festivus hat. I see.
Yeah,
got
with
it.
The Twins hat
with
on.
The green. The I see.
Yeah. But the now I get it. Yeah, because I'm like, that's not the right colors. Mm-hmm. But the last time, your last Twin Cities hat, we had a whole discussion about because it was like, what the fuck is
what is
TC?
That? Right. Yeah. So this one I'm very excited about.
Conway Twitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's CT. Whatever.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Backwards. Sorry about. As always, but sorry about being late.
I was telling
you're right on time. Dear.
I was.
You're here right at the time I was expecting you.
I was telling Al just moments ago because he and I were the only ones here.
I know. Sorry, I left you with no one to talk to.
Well, it almost just became Al for 3 hours.
Well, that's weird.
No, but what I was saying
was new?
I had a dream that you know, envisioned that the two of you together would work together and you would get somewhere. No.
It could have happened.
There's always a Buddy Early like story to keep you interested.
Oh, yes, right.
That's right.
She brings in a stained wine shirt to throw you off the scent.
Sure.
It gets crazy.
Yeah.
It gets crazy.
I was going to stain a shirt for a story.
Now,
it wouldn't have been that one.
Now, I'm kind of curious, Aaron. Now, you being out of, not out of all us, but because Al has a job that he has to be there at a certain time for. Mm. How do you do that morning thing where you have to get up and you drive and you arrive
She's
somewhere?
She's crazy about that.
Oh,
like I'm crazy being on time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just wondering.
No, I am...
Wow.
There's paper towels behind you for
I'm always early for school.
Significantly.
Yeah, perpetually on time.
Okay.
Early.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
I was not a particularly prompt person until I went back to school.
Right.
And certainly not the first time I went to college. But adventure number two at college, I became crazy on time.
Mm.
I have no idea what kicked in or what new gene came up, and like I've never.
What was it? Just adult responsibility kicked in?
No, but some people are just late.
Shit's never gonna happen.
You know what I mean? Like my one sister is just always late. Like there's just people that are just perpetually late, and you just make your life work to them around those guidelines. And it's changed. Like I'm still late to anything that we're all gonna do together.
Oh, okay.
Or if you invite me to lunch, I'll get there when I want to. But.
I'm not ever looking at it like I'll get there when I want to. I'm doing 54 other things, and it's my bad because I don't organize it well enough, and I get that piece. But my whole deal, and it actually kicked in about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I don't think there's a goddamn thing that's going to burn down if I'm not there on time.
No.
So, like, this I get. This I get completely. But anything else, fine.
That's nice. Pacify us like that.
No, but I'm being serious. This is something that, like, it has a start time. But, like, if it's a fucking movie, watch the movie. Who's going to miss out? Me. Who cares?
But you do a teaching thing a couple times a week. So that is a formal time. I mean, if you have a class that starts...
And I'm going to get there at 5:26 when I teach at 5:30.
See...
Every time, because I have to drive across town,
Aaron,
and I have too much other shit to do.
Turn
Am
it,
I not on?
Turn it.
Oh, no, it's on.
Turn it. No.
Yeah.
This way.
There
this
you
way.
Go. Yeah.
There it is.
Everything for a reason in Studio C.
Yes. See, Marnie is, and I love this about her, is she is such an optimist that she thinks everywhere in the valley takes 6 minutes to get to.
Well, that's because all the commercials on TV say that, you know, any car lot just minutes from anywhere.
Right. So it's her optimism that just gets her every time.
And my thing is I get distracted by something shiny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like yesterday, I knew for sure yesterday that I was meeting somebody for lunch at 1:45 or 2:45 or something, and that he usually... is available earlier. Like, sure. He'll give the latest time that's appropriate for what we're doing, but he could actually be there at, like, 2:15 because he's coming right from work. I never take that into account, and I just sit there, and I'll be like, oh, my God, I need to know what Vin – you know what I mean? Like, and it's stuff that I don't give a shit about that all of a sudden I'm sitting in front of the computer or, like, I do need to know what happens after the break.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's some news story that I have never taken interest before.
Until then.
But the minute it's time to, like, get in the shower or, you know, you should really, like – wear something besides jeans and a t-shirt. And I'm like, oh no, what about the dollar in China? You know what I mean?
Because if I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I can always throw changes. In. I can always throw in an extra load of laundry. I can fold faster than anybody you've ever met, which I can.
I've heard
and
of
impeccably, impeccably. Like I'm.
Like
I
she works at Gap.
Out. Yeah, I pull shit out and it's like inside out and crumpled, and I'm like, whatever. And she'll come over and open a drawer and be like, "Oh, we're so different."
Years ago, I figured out that I could eliminate a lot of time or save a lot of time in life because if it's wrinkled, when I put it, wrinkles just stretch out of it, and I'm perfectly fine.
Me too.
It works
Buy
out.
Buy tighter clothes and yes. work, have them work it out.
Less ironing.
That surprises
clothes.
Me. I'm
work
not
out the
iron
turbulence.
Anything. That's why I take the time.
That's not a t-shirt. That's a collared. That's a. Oh my. Who are you?
Yeah, but it's a
no,
black.
It's
but,
black.
But on camera, it looks
it
like a black
a
V-neck.
Oh, I know.
Yes. No, I just chose to wear this one tonight.
You've been replaced. You're a pod person.
To a different person.
A pod person.
What's that? Sounds like something from a movie.
From Invasion of the Body.
Yeah. It's from Big Business, actually. Oh my God, it's pod people.
Oh, but it's from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they actually call them pod people, but that's what I called the creatures.
I think it sounds just fine to call them
pod people. I
think
it sounds delightful.
In any one of the 17 versions of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Pick your favorite.
Yes.
Let's pretend you saw that one.
I did not, but we'll pretend.
Exactly. Right.
It's all about pretending.
Now, Erin, you're sitting in Katie's seat this week, filling in. Thank you for doing so. She is, I believe, if I'm not wrong, I think she had an HRC function to go to tonight, and Kelly had to go with her.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it was. So she's
Should
doing,
I put my hair on a doing, top bun like she does?
No, you have to worry about
Katie,
that.
Can I put
but,
it up?
But before the show's over, you have to be gluten-free and try a diet.
But you only have to stick to it for like 25 seconds.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
Well, I've done the wine-free diet since I sat down. Can I change that now?
I would change that immediately.
Ding, ding. Hey, babe, you want to make that happen?
Now, it's a school night. How are you doing on that? Oh, she's going to use one of our cunt mugs.
Yes, I'll use a cunt mug.
Oh, we always like people use our cunt mugs.
Yes, very nice.
I thought, when are you going to get classy?
No, I don't.
Don't do that now.
Where did it spill out of?
Don't change shit up.
Where did it spill out of? Out of curiosity.
I mopped the studio today, and whatever happened last week, I think you laughed, and there was everything.
Manatee.
Oh, was it manatee?
That was like 2 weeks ago.
She
sprayed all over the corner.
No, twist.
Here.
It's a. Oh, well.
No. God. Do not do that.
Well, it's too late.
Oh, I can't even watch.
Wow.
That was painful.
Those are good dentures you got.
For crying in the rain. It's just my teeth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very important.
You actually were able to roll out of camera shot for that, so nobody saw you.
I can reenact it if anyone
wants. Please don't.
I feel like we're on Duck Dynasty. You're taking corks out of bottles with teeth.
Oh, well, they got to be at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, so yes. I'm a little bit jealous of those.
And they were
assholes.
On the Today Show as well.
I don't care about the Today Show as much as like being at the like they were in the parade.
They had their own float.
Corporate.
That is my
product
that is
placement.
My only bucket list. Oh, yeah. My only bucket list is being at the parade on Thanksgiving
have
one
you,
time
Al?
In my life.
Have you? Yes. You have.
It's awful.
Oh,
but in my head,
just
it's so
of
perfect.
The number of
and
people?
It's a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm.
See it, do it, and then you're like, all right, it was much better. Because first off, like this year, freezing cold.
I know,
and nothing happens. Right in front, like you know what I mean. It's all for
well. No,
cameras
I
want to
sit right where the Broadway stops.
Now, if they let me sit in front of Macy's,
and tell everybody
the
how
entrance,
the parade should go.
Like right by Herald Square.
Alec, we ran the world. The parade would be more efficient,
right?
Prettier, sparklier.
Yeah, and no lip sync. He'd figure out how to make the lip syncing be better.
Oh,
all that
right.
Shit. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I also don't expect anybody to get up at 6 a.m. and sing in 20 degree weather. Like,
oh, no.
I have very realistic expectations. It's enough that they get those because they have to relearn the choreography. For a street.
A smaller area.
You know what I mean? Like, those shows don't take place on a city street.
Speaking of things like that, for bucket lists, I did, I wanted to experience New Year's Eve on the Strip in Vegas.
Oh.
And I did it, and I'm done with it. And
yep.
I will never go again.
I don't remember you talking about that.
Oh, it's many, many years ago. No. It was probably... Probably before I really knew you.
Okay.
It was Gio and I went up and we stayed at Caesar's Palace and they close off the entire strip and you're out there with every other fucking moron that decides, let's go to Vegas
for New
Year's.
And that's before security got like double super nuts. Because now like if you go into like Times Square for New Year's, you can't get out and go pee. When you go, when you're in, you're out.
Yep.
Oh wow. Like,
show's over. When you have to pee, you're out.
You're ringing the new year in depends.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You just piss
off. Or you're just ringing the new year in.
And yeah, it's too much. We did.
I don't want to ever do that again.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I would do it. I would go to Vegas and do it like from a you know, whatever, a balcony from a suite and watch it all. Mm-hmm. Because it literally, they block it off for about an hour. Well, at least they did. It's about an hour. They block the street, they do the thing, and then the street clears out and they go.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to be in that thick of that crowd again. Yeah, that's just no.
And I can't be in crowds. Like now now I panic over everything crowd related.
When too many
like,
people get in this studio, you get a little nervous.
When too many people get anywhere, I get nervous. Like, I have to have my the exits, doors
and
open.
And I love people and I don't mind any of that stuff, but I'm similar to that. Like, okay, now this is enough. Now we're done.
Yeah. That's why I have Mondays and Tuesdays off, because I like empty restaurants. You know what I mean? Like, I go to restaurants always when they're empty. Everyone's like, oh, I've never seen this busy. I've never seen any restaurant busy. I go to dinner on Monday nights. Yeah. I go on Monday nights where me and the waiter are dining together.
Sure. Right. Sure. Yeah. Well,
we learned how Saturday nights go at restaurants sometimes. Not good.
Oh, and I said that that's what Katie and I were saying, too. I'm like, this is why I don't take Saturdays off, because restaurants are just fucking landmines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid.
Very much so.
Oh, absolutely.
So, again, you are sitting in Katie's spot. We always go around the table. What you been up to? So, Aaron Henderson.
Well, I got called Aaron. You know, so Friday.
When you get to him, it's Aaron.
Right.
when you get
it
to
was
me,
Thanksgiving.
What?
It was Marnie's birthday. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday. Yes. Happy birthday.
Yes, we got to spend all weekend together, which is always nice. And
then the 19 turkey things, we never had a fucking cake for you.
Doesn't matter.
I know, but
show candles and a turkey.
Well, I brought cupcakes at the Saturday night dinner, and then I tried, but I'm an asshole because I didn't get her an actual cake on her actual birthday. So I like did a quick little run and got her.
That's really sad that I saw you like cupcake every fucking day this week and never once thought
never
to
once
thought to bring a cake. But we're all trying to lose weight, so we there's
well,
our
so
excuse.
We're just by the way, cutting I'm the sugar. Oh, that's what I'm doing. No sugar diet for right now for Katie's place.
You're drinking wine.
You're drinking wine.
Okay.
You mean actual spoonfuls of sugar?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
got
I
it.
Will not put spoonfuls of sugar in my mouth. Helps the medicine or whatever.
Gotcha.
So that's Friday funny. We were at Marnie's. Marnie does a Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving, as you know.
Yes, she does.
And Laura, who is a faithful listener to the show, came in with her husband, Steve, who I've met, who I've met often.
Yeah.
And Laura said, you know Ernie. She couldn't think of my real fucking name. Love you, Laura.
All of a sudden, she comes up to me. I'm Ernie now.
Yeah. Officially.
Like, yeah, I know.
Officially. Mm-hmm. Hey, but it works. For the witness protection program part of the show, works out well.
It does. Except when you go, Aaron Henderson, next seat. Yeah. I'm screwed.
But luckily, we only say that like once every 4 hours. Yes, and it has to be you that says it, because we're like, oh, Ernie.
Something, that one over there.
And old Marissa over there. Yeah. Whatever her name
Marcia,
is.
The Marcia. Other day, she was Margaret.
Reiner.
Apparently.
Margaret Reiner.
Margaret Reiner, please.
Margaret
come to the...
Reiner.
Oh, I like that you think I got your last name right. That,
oh, no.
I like that optimism.
He used to be Reiner all the time. By the way, Reiner is incorrect.
Yeah, it's Ryer. Oh, she's not related to Carl. Carl and, yeah, Rob. No.
No, it's Ryer.
Oh, funny.
Next thing, your name will be Hendershot.
I just said, right.
Everybody drink to that.
Good old Ernie Hendershot over here. Right. Welcome, Ernie Hendershot.
Yes, thank you. That's why to be
I
here.
I looked up funny because you said Carl. That was my dad's real name. That he went
Buzz.
By Buzz.
Oh.
And, but when you said she's not yet Carl, or, and I'm like, huh? What? Yeah. Carl Reiner.
Carl
not Reiner.
Right, not Reiner. Carl Reiner.
Yeah, so that confused me for a minute. Easy to do.
Yes.
Easy to do.
Okay, so...
So, anything... Let's... Oh, I did tell Marnie this yesterday. Margaret, whatever. I ordered some things online.
Oh.
Not Cyber Monday. I did it on Black Friday because some stuff was 50% off.
Yeah.
And I got... This is a shameless plug. I don't shop at the Gap. In the past, I've been too fat to shop at the Gap, and now it's just too expensive. But shit was on sale. I got the best pair of leggings that I just wear in my house. Nobody needs to see me in those. But they are so
delightful.
Are they
overstocked from 87? What are they?
No, they are so delightful that it's worth mentioning right now on things I did this week.
Oh, I just want to tell you my...
Oh, my God.
I hate shopping. I hate malls. Mm-hmm. But the greatest thing and the thing I always go to is the Gap clearance table. Is almost the happiest place on earth for
and
me.
And the outlet is pretty spectacular.
Because the fat
when
sizes that I wear,
there.
No one's bought them. No one else is shaped like me. So there's plenty of choices in my sizes.
I feel ya.
And they're soft. Like,
so that's the thing of these leggings is they're so soft.
Almost my entire wardrobe is brought to you by Gap or Old Navy.
I'm Old Navy.
If I was a little heavier, I have to go to Old Navy.
Yeah.
Thinner
yeah.
weeks, I can go to the Gap. Fatter weeks.
That's exactly true.
Yep. Yeah.
Poorer exactly weeks, richer weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and the clearance table on both, what? Delightful.
Delightful. Oh, yeah.
Martin yeah. can find things for like $1.50 at Old Navy.
All these t-shirts section. That you've been watching me wear for a year yeah. and a half, they're all Old Navy or Gap clearance specials.
Well, nice I found out a way
pocket, to... Because I do the same thing as him, except Clayton. It's not a black V-neck. Yeah, right. It's just a plain ringer... Not even ringer. It's a plain t-shirt in sure. various pastel colors. Yep. All of them are blue, in case you're wondering.
Various.
I understand
like
that
my
completely.
Sister went in there and just bought them out. And she brings them out and she's like...
Will this work?
Same, yeah, and then yeah. she's like, well, it's the same fucking t-shirt and the same goddamn size. I don't know why we do it. And there's like one color that I'm like, oh, no.
No, that won't one. Work. Mm-mm.
And then like 3 weeks later, I have like, yeah, I wore it the other day. My sister was like, you'll never wear this.
And there you are.
Because it was baby puke green. I love it. And I'm like, that's a gorgeous
ooh,
color.
Yeah. Well done.
Mm-hmm. I found out a way to make how to make a Banana Republic gift card stretch further.
Oh. Give it to ooh. Me.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Old Navy on sale.
Absolutely. Yes.
Same company.
Yes. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Gap, Old Navy, right. and they're all the same.
Yep. Because Matt Little, when he moved, he gave me this a sundry of cards. He's like, here. They've all got various amounts of money on them. Just
that's
doing
fantastic.
It. So I called. I'm like, can I use it? I'm like, yep. So I went and new jeans and belts and whatever the hell else I bought.
Oh, that's really stretching your dollar.
But so I was much happier with it because I don't need anything from Banana Republic.
Oh, they have lovely, lovely clothes.
They do.
But you got to be even a
even
size
skinnier.
Well, this show at this point doesn't get to wear those yeah. those clothes.
No,
I remember when I could still shop there.
And I'm not paying that much for black t-shirts that I can get yeah. from Hanes.com and they'll just that's show right. up and I don't have
right,
to go
right.
anywhere.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do have a, you know how Stacey and Clayton on, isn't that his name?
Who?
On What Not to Wear. Isn't his name Clayton? Something like that. What's his name?
On what the show What Not to Wear?
Yeah.
I have no idea what his name is.
You know, Stacey with the
clearly
with the skunk
I've never
streak.
Seen it.
I know.
Anyway, they always ask people what's your
I'd feel
favorite.
Like a failure.
Oh, stop. They failure. Always ask what's your favorite thing you've ever worn. And my favorite thing I've ever worn, the best I've ever felt, is a brown dress from Banana Republic. It's a size 14. It's adorable. I don't even come close to fitting in it, but that's like my favorite thing I've ever worn. So I can appreciate Banana Republic.
So then when they ask you that, what happens to that information? Do they then try to find something that's like that to
they
get you back in?
They try to find things mm-hmm. that make you feel the way you felt
oh,
when you were wearing that, because I remember how good I felt about myself.
So
they how do you feel about like, Daisy Dukes in a tube top? Because that's...
You know what? Next time I'm on the show with you, I will not
oh,
wear
no,
that.
Oh, no, that's what
no.
I was thinking. For
right.
me. No.
Oh, it'd be pretty.
I'd pay to see that
I think
shit.
That'd be nice.
You would not have enough money to pay no. to see me in Daisy Dukes
would,
in a tube top.
Yeah, because I shop at Old Navy. I don't have much money anyway.
And there's not a show coming up that's going to involve that in a wardrobe
no.
selection,
no.
I'm sure.
Oh, mercy.
I like my legs, but only up so high. You know what I mean?
Like well, I stopped shaving about 2
yeah.
inches above the knee.
Okay.
2 inches above the knee, I'm
oh,
good.
Oh, his name's
any
Clinton.
Higher.
His name's Clinton.
Clinton.
Sorry.
Got it.
As in
different,
Bill.
Different vowel. Or,
Clinton.
Yeah, different vowel.
Mm-hmm. Clayton Clinton.
There you go.
Okay,
Martin,
I'm done now.
It's a good week.
You turned 44.
Yep.
Look at you. You
did.
Made it.
Oh.
Welcome to the dark side.
No more prime numbers. I like
oh,
it.
Oh, I can't wait
like
till
it.
That happens to me.
Which one?
Fuck you.
It was a really good week. I got to see some beautiful people more than I normally do, so that was lovely.
It was
just
a
talking
lot
about
of
me.
Normally you see
no.
non-beautiful people.
No, I got to see some of the people that I think are beautiful.
Rare beauty
more
is what she's talking about.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Now that,
yes.
It,
rare
it,
and complete.
Good.
Yes. It was really nice. It was lovely to see your mom. Last
yes.
week.
Yes.
Hi,
Di. Yes. A
hi,
delicious
Di.
Meal.
Thank you for
yes.
everything.
And that was very nice. We got there a little bit later than anticipated. Jason
no.
had
the second
left.
You got there, everybody
well,
left.
No, this is a good, I mean, not a good reason, but
maybe
this
the
is
first
a
valid time.
Oh,
yeah.
No, no,
I don't know, but
it's a tough holiday. And we do it at different ends of the weekly spectrum, but sure. I love that. Like, do it on a day where everybody's a little bit more free.
Yes.
So you're not trying to go house to house to mm-hmm. house, which
right.
is what all those holidays turn into.
And
right.
keep everybody, you know, like hurry, hurry and
yeah.
whatever. So yeah, we love doing that on Friday. And this year was a much smaller crowd than typical, but it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, and it was such an eclectic kind of crowd. It was
yeah.
weird for
it's,
me.
Oh, it's
like,
such a nice,
to look around.
Easy night.
It was
such a lovely, lovely evening. Mm-hmm. I was very, I just a good time laughing for
yeah,
hours. Your brother was fun.
Isn't my brother fantastic?
Yeah,
I was so happy
fun.
That he came to spend time with us. I love
that's
my brother.
That's someone I've not yet met, I don't believe.
No.
You haven't, and
okay.
he is fantastic,
no.
and I love him very
oh, and
much.
It was just
and he
so
thought
delightful.
You were just Fantastic. Well, both I mean, you and Doug.
Everybody was firing. Everybody was on in their most charming conversational selves. Yes. And
well, and it was beautiful. I mean, Cosette came and was there all afternoon and most of the evening, into the evening.
And fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, very, very late.
Very
she was
late.
There very
she was
late,
there
as I
extraordinarily
recall.
Late.
Oh, really
I think she
late.
Was the
yeah.
last one to leave.
Last one to leave.
She left at like 3 in the morning.
I was already asleep on the couch by like 10:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know, there's still a video part of the
That's
struggle.
Right. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was about 2:30.
Doug Wilkie was there.
2:30 in the morning. And, right,
and it was so nice to meet Laura's often referred to, but rarely seen.
Rarely
husband.
Seen.
Right.
Yes.
Jordan and Brian were there.
That's right. They were hiding out doing in front, putting up the lights.
Oh, right.
The whole day.
And it was so funny because I had just met them the week before, and mm-hmm. I was like, I've just met these people, but I don't know where.
Yes, Jasper and her boyfriend.
And I'm so
Brian.
Shy that's that right. I didn't ask. You know what I mean?
Right, you are aww. Very demure.
Yeah, I wondered about that whole thing because the guy, good-looking guy, never met him. I met him
and
just saying hi,
so
and that
wonderful.
Was it. Yeah.
Oh, we
so
love him.
I had to wonder, I'm like, when we were sitting down having the dinner or at the restaurant, I thought to myself,
yeah, having the dinner. We didn't ever really get the dinner.
He hasn't been around this whole group before like this. I'm thinking, wow, what kind of an indoctrination is this for him? But I don't know really who all he's met or what he's seen, but I'm thinking, wow, he's sitting down at a table full of a lot of different people.
A lot of personalities.
Yeah. I think the first time...
And did very well.
Yeah. I think the first time I met Brian, I said, I hope you like gay people because you're around them all the time now. Like,
Deal with it.
Yeah. He's wonderful and we are so happy and he needs to call me when he was ready to buy a ring. I'll help him pick it out.
Yeah. She's not pushing these things.
Nope. Not at all.
At all.
No.
For him to marry Jordan.
They're moving in together.
How long have they been dating?
It'll be
almost
a year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jasper, I never get to see her anymore. I just don't keep up.
Time just flies.
It does. Wow. So, yeah. The last time I really remember seeing her for an extended period of time was when we did the first photo shoot for the show.
Oh, okay.
I know that I've seen her a couple of times since then, but the last time that I was really
around. Oh, wait, now, is that who she is? Did she take the pictures?
No, that was Amanda Nimmick.
Yeah.
But no, she was there at Rebar the day we did the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
But that's the last time I remember really sitting down with her and talking or whatever. Wow.
Sure.
Wow. So that makes sense. So she met Brian just after that, my guess is.
Yeah.
Oh, time. Yeah, they're all growing up.
They are. They're all growing up real fast. But it was a lovely week. So I really just had a fantastic time. And laid back and... My yard looks good, and it just
that's
everything
so funny.
Makes
I was
going to so
mention.
Happy.
I was going to mention that about mine. Isn't that funny?
Is that it truly just calms me. That part calms me. I just need to go out more often and look at my yard because I'm not very calm.
It's a lovely thing. I mowed my lawn today, and I'm excited.
And my favorite line of late Friday night was, "Oh, we've spent so many Thanksgivings together. I just met you last week."
Yeah,
because we did 3 Thanksgivings in 4 days.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and that was our third Thanksgiving.
No, it was our third.
In as many days.
Yeah. So, we spent so many Thanksgivings together.
Jason was in the hospital, and so that was one of the reasons he was released.
Yesterday.
Yep, so he's at home now. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the reasons for at your mom's that things were so much, not actually so much later than we anticipated, but an hour or so.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was there for almost a week, but he's home now.
Yeah. He's home and hopefully on the road to healing.
Yes. And if he might be listening, but please give him my information to call me with any.
Sure.
Anything he needs or any.
For those of you wondering, he had breast implants.
Shut up. He did not.
He actually was a butt cheek implant.
And I'd like to come over and squeeze them.
You are welcome anytime. Once they heal.
You are killing
ass
me.
Implants is really what it was.
Both.
Well, yeah.
Top and bottom balance.
Well, weird. Let's not bring that up.
Speaking of tops and bottoms,
it is better when tops and bottoms balance.
We like the balance.
An equal number of both at any party is important.
Mr.
Especially
Perkins.
For a key party.
Well,
I have to say my lawn human showed up today.
I'd love that in my lawn.
He always calls him.
And last year he surprised me with a Christmas greeting, and then I realized I was an asshole and I had Christmas cards on my table. So I went in and wrote one real quick and threw a check in it because I'm like, fuck, I got to tip this guy. you know, a Christmas tip is always appropriate. Well, right. Now he's been in charge of my yard for quite some time.
Okay.
So the thing that may or may not be a tree, I think it's a giant weed that has now reached a size that you have to call it some kind of bush. Because it's seriously like...
Is it one of the bushes that smells like cum? Because I'm over the cum trees.
No.
I'm
they're everywhere else in my yard. But
those are trees. Those are full trees. I'm done with them.
Allegedly, when I bought my house, there was a lemon and lime tree in the front. They were marked, and I kept the price tags on them for a long time because I find that very funny.
I love it.
There's a piece of plastic in my fridge that I was trying to figure out what it was. I'm like, did somebody break my fridge and put tape there? No, it's part of the original, like, take this off when you start to use it.
Oh.
So I left it.
Okay.
Because the your mattress still have a tag on
it? No, but the back seat of my car still has all the plastic.
His mattress has
to open the
it.
Doors. Like, yeah, I won't let anybody take off the plastic from the door handles. So he's been taking care of it, and this thing in my front yard is now huge. And the other day, I swear to God, I saw a lime. Swear to God. Or maybe it'll turn into a lemon or something else. But there's a piece of fruit on there.
Oh.
So part of whatever this thing that grew may have, like, swallowed up its twin fruit tree. But it was too high, and I didn't really care enough to, like, explore further to find out what it was I was looking at. So I'm like, yeah, maybe someday somebody will come over and pick that.
Sure.
So maybe next year I'll have a fruit of some sort. Who knows? But the grass,
besides the ones at the stable.
Yeah, the grass is so green and so green and beautiful that I really wanted to go out there and take a picture today because he does beautiful work for what I think fire sale prices.
A lovely price.
And then it's
very good.
House next door status.
Halfway done, and I meant to go over today and knock on their door, but I keep, by the time I get up, it's time to leave, because that would be one more thing that would make me 5 minutes late, would be the, like, by the time I'm like, ugh, because they don't come over every day anymore. I think they're at the point now where they're not making the kind of noise they were, where they felt they had to apologize, so we're a few days in betwixt visits, and, there was 90, oh my God, so what we're talking about a class reunion that Tyler went to, where only six people showed up.
Oh,
and
Tyler was the
belle
of the ball.
I'm not in the chat room, but how many were in the class?
I don't know, but he hasn't said how
five.
Many were in the class. But only
one got married. Yeah.
But there were only five other people, but him there.
Oh my God.
And one of them was the boyfriend of someone, so it was really only four people that he knew. And
sure. Oh, the class president had wine and beer.
Oh, there
he
goes.
With his boy, and he brought a boyfriend, so that's kind of fun. That, you know,
yay.
Half the literally one half of the crowd was gay.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know the class president wasn't a girl? Sexist.
Oh, I don't. Uh-huh. You're right. Well, I just saw the part about Lady Gaga and what they played.
Oh.
I just went with visual.
Speaking
clues.
Of lip syncing with Lady Gaga.
Oh,
anyway.
Lord.
So, and that was about it. And then there was 140 something in his class. Mine was like 220 or something like that. But my my 25 year was really poorly planned, and it was really because it was in honor of someone sort of that was sick that usually had planned them and you know, clinging to life sort of deal. Mm. So we all went
clinging to life.
I don't know. It was a whole big to do.
he's so annoyed. Ugh.
But I mean, I went. I'm always back there in the summertime. So what the fuck? Go to a party.
Right.
How hard is that? I went to my sister's one time, and I knew as many people as she did, so that was kind of funny.
Oh, good.
But I had to keep telling them, I didn't graduate with you all. I'm not old.
Right.
Which they stopped.
I'm much younger than you.
I remember you saying, telling that story once before.
It stopped
before.
Being charming by, like, the 17th person I told. It was like, can we just kill him?
Right.
So that was...
Please.
And I think that's about, I mean, some movies that I'm going to talk about later, some little events that I'm going to tie together. But other than that, just a very relaxing week because I still haven't worked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I worked my one day.
You worked one day at the restaurant.
With someone who's in a food coma.
Yes.
Induced food coma.
An induced food coma. Too much turkey, dear. So
yes.
It's been
that's
kind of funny
because
I'm like, I need to go back to work just because I need something to do. Like,
keep
I just keep going to
keep
bed.
Your
like,
skills up.
They're like, what are you going, you know, what am I going to bed for? I don't know. I don't have to get up for anything. There's no real point to this.
Sure.
So this meeting, this morning, there was a meeting that I could have gone to. But they were like, well, you know, you're not scheduled. It's an early morning meeting. We really don't expect night people to show up. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll go in. I may have something to contribute. Well, I took my Benadryl at 10, hoping to fall asleep. And at 4 a.m., I was still awake. So I'm like,
oh, God.
No, I'm not going to show up like half dead on a Benadryl at 7:30 in the morning. So right. I just wrote my condolences. And
yes.
Condolences. Oh, boy. That was
McKee.
Yeah. It's just the normal. It's work here, work there. And the funny thing was, now we all know it because I've made no hidden agenda that Christmas isn't my deal. The whole holidays really isn't my deal. But I like some Christmas lights, so I have my obligatory, mm-hmm. I have my lights, and I'm
Aaron
gonna,
mentioned them.
Gonna
right.
be doing,
I said, look at his one strand of white lights.
Yes.
One
had I been with someone, I would have said it to them, too, because I was like, oh, Christmas lights.
Yeah. So I've got to put the strand up at my mom's, though she decorates on the inside. So, mm-hmm. but the bar, now, being part of the cast and crew of Charlie's, you know, they all get together, and like they started yesterday and finished today, the interior decorating of the bar, which
oh,
is...
Oh, and that's insanity.
It's because it's everywhere. Well, here... I got a phone call yesterday from one of the managers, and they wanted to know if, first of all, when anybody calls you, it's like, well, hi, what are you doing?
Oh, God.
Really?
Always say you're busy.
Yeah. Well, I'm typically always busy with doing something.
True.
But they're like, I'm like, well, you didn't call to chit chat with me. So what's up? Right. Well, we were just wondering. what are you wondering? Well, remember last year when you took such great care of all the inflatable Christmas decorations?
I'm glad you said Christmas decorations.
Yeah. I'll be doing the inflatable, you know, the big Frosty the Snowman, and which I call Frosty La Hoot because it falls a lot.
That's funny.
I do.
Poor thing.
Oh, God.
It is.
Frosty LaHoo.
Did you see my picture from last year where it's laying face down in the volleyball court?
I don't think I remember that
picture for you. But anyway, this week, I have to go do the inflatable Christmas stuff. And I've been asked to go to Vegas. I'll go to Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think we leave next Monday morning. Oh. I go up and then I get the U-Haul truck. I load the U-Haul truck with the bags of that styrofoam snow. And then I'll drive that back on Tuesday and be back here before the show.
What's the styrofoam snow?
Don't you know how it snows inside Charlie's where they've got the entire bar is full of that shit and it winds up in your shoes and your truck and your house?
Oh, no, I would never know. That's like a confetti party. Yeah. I ain't going.
I'll show you a picture. I'll get you. I have a picture of both Frosty La Hoot and the snow.
Damn,
yes, absolutely.
Funny.
So
that is very funny.
So all of that and just regular, you know, work stuff. That's all it is. So I always feel like my life is so boring and routine, but I put so much shit into through life.
Well, today you did laundry, you said.
Oh, laundry, the lawn, client stuff.
More than I did.
Yeah.
Well, I just taught children all day. Ugh. Just kidding. Just kidding. I really do love my students.
When you start to call your clients scumbags, it's time to stop being a social worker.
Would you like me to send a copy of this podcast to the NEA?
No, we're good. I'm a dues-paying member, my friend.
Well, aren't you? Yeah, you're more than I thought you were the president of something.
I was the president of my local union
until... Now she's just a member.
A year and a half ago because I was getting suicidal. So
and the other thing is I'm trying to win a car.
Then can I have the one?
Where are you going to park that one?
No. Oh, I'll figure. Well, if I win,
because I
noticed
your truck is across the street. Yeah. The other truck's at my house. There's a car here.
She's got more room in that parking over there.
I just had to laugh. I'm like, next is going to be the cats are going to be in different places.
So the one show that I DVR and I watch if I can, though it frustrates me because of what they do. It's called Fast and Loud. It's a garage in Dallas that. They get cars and they take a lot of older cars and they convert them, which breaks my heart. They convert them to these muscle cars and, you know, hot rods and all this bullshit. Well, sometimes they actually just do full restorations, legitimate full restorations of cars and make them better than when they came off the showroom floor, whatever, whatever, whatever. Well, they're in some sort, it must be sweeps. Is it sweeps right now for TV?
November sweeps, yes. Okay. No, it's over. They ended.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't know why they're doing it right now, but they're doing a tie-in with I'm sure... Two of you out of the three are going to remember this. The movie Smokey and the Bandit, which was the Burt Reynolds thing.
That would be the two of you that would remember that.
I figured that you'd somehow be in the mix on this one. The premise of the movie is...
Late for something and driving really fast.
A rich guy decides he wants beer in a dry county or a dry state, so he pays the bandit and his truck driving Finn, played by Jerry Reed, to drive a tractor trailer full of beer from Texas to wherever the hell it was. It's like an 1,800 mile trip. Anyway,
that sounds like something we would do.
I didn't know there was a plot to that.
No, there is a whole plot to the movie. So if you'll remember, in the movie, Burt Reynolds and then he picks up the character called Frog, who is played by Sally Field. They drive a 77 black Trans Am with T-tops.
Just now that I knew.
The hottest car.
That's probably the only car in a movie or anything that I've ever known what it was.
So this show, Fast and Loud, and again, that's why I thought this was a sweeps thing. The guy, a friend of his who's a really wealthy a real estate person in Louisiana, walks into his office and says, I got a deal for you. Here's what I need. Here's the money that you got, and I'm going to make another bet with you. So he pulls out of a bag $70,000 in cash and lays it on his desk and says, I want a Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. I need it restored, ready to go. It's got to be in a show, but you've got 6 days to do it.
Oh, my.
Oh, okay.
But he makes a supplemental bet. He says, and if you get it to me delivered at blah, blah, blah place by a certain time, there's an additional $40,000
in
it for you.
Remember that he has, it's what it, they have to get something a certain distance.
By a certain time.
Deadline. And then,
right, deadline.
CDs were very popular. Yeah. So Sally Field was rejuvenating her career.
So he throws $70,000 That's right. on the desk, throws the stipulation of, I need it by 3 p.m., 6 days from now, blah, blah, blah. You get an extra $40,000. However, if you can get Burt Reynolds to autograph the car, you get an additional $25,000. So that's what starts the premise of it. They find the car, they start rebuilding the car, blah, 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 blah. Well, then they go to Florida and they go to Burt Reynolds' place, which he's...
The Neptune Theater? Am I right?
I'm not sure where
I
it
don't
is.
Know. Oh, I don't know.
I think it's I think he's in Neptune, Florida.
I think that's...
And he has a theater company
so
there.
They go, oh, I didn't but know they go that. To his house. Well, it's a two-part series, so next week's the rest of it. Well... Paul Williams, who plays Little Enos, shows up at the garage, and the guy's like, you're Little Enos. He goes, listen, dummy, I'm here on behalf of the guy who's got the money. And then he throws the rest of the deal in it. Now they've got to get a tractor trailer full of beer.
Oh, because Paul Williams is the son of the person that
Pat McCormick.
Pat McCormick.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who is like 90 feet tall.
Big Enos and Little Enos. So he shows up dressed as Little Enos.
Oh, and there's a very funny documentary called Paul Williams is Alive.
Oh,
because he was missing. Like, not missing, but he was off the radar for so long.
Oh.
So someone made a documentary about his life and then found out that he was alive. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we have to change what this is about.
Our story ends with Paul being alive.
So then it's kind of like a reintroduction to Paul Williams, who's alive and doing quite well.
So the crux of my whole story was the fact that they are in this contest is every week they are doing a keyword on the episode of each week. And then you are entered to win the car. So in January, they're going to give away this 77 restored TA that's perfect. And I'm like, oh, how cool would it be to have that car? Because it's such an iconic car, look and all. Sure. And it would fit me perfectly.
Yeah, it really would.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what it is. But it's kind of funny because Reynolds is 77, and he's in the deal, still going.
Yeah.
But when Paul Williams walked up, again, I'm like, somebody I thought was dead because I just assumed he was dead. He walks in, and he's just as snarky as he ever. And the guy reaches out and touches his arm and goes, don't touch the actor.
Still has a sense of humor. Because he was on The View pushing the documentary last year as it was going around and was singing some of his...
Paul Williams Still Alive is the fourth thing that pops up with Paul Williams.
Well, because he's still alive.
PaulWilliamsStillAlive.com.
Still there.
It's its own website.
So, I mean, and very funny.
I know who that is.
Yeah, you know him. And he wrote The Rainbow Connection.
Yes.
And he wrote the lyrics to Evergreen and won an Oscar with Barbra Streisand. But so, his list of songwriting credits is staggering.
Speaking of Kermit... with
Lady Gaga
with Rainbow Connection, Lady Gaga is fucking weird. I know that I'm supposed to be
late to this dance.
I've never watched her perform like that. Like, she's the craziest. She's got crazy eyes, crazier than Crazy Eyes on Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah.
She's fucking weird.
I thought that too. The cute thing though, but I forgot to tape it, and I've watched here and there. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt in her
adorable.
Did Baby It's Cold Outside?
I have it recorded. If you'd like to see it.
Is there anything that Joseph Gordon-Levitt can't do, ladies and gentlemen?
Isn't
I don't think
he
so.
Just
no.
adorable?
It was horrible to suffer through. I actually got through about half of it. I'm like, I can't watch anymore.
Well, so at the very end, she does this scene with Kermit where they're talking, and she's trying to like act and not have crazy eyes, and it's really uncomfortable to watch.
And then one of the comments that I read about it was that because everyone's new doing the voices and they're not quite there, that it's hard to watch the Muppets now. Because
I thought they were close enough.
They did
I grew up.
Well.
Oh,
I can't believe you
that.
Just segued into a story that I was going to bitch about. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. We both said how we both watched the Muppets every week growing up, and I didn't think the voices were that bad. I thought Lady Gaga was weird. Mm-hmm. She sang
that's her actual voice though.
Oh well, she yes. Well, she sang a song, an Elton John song with him. He sang Gaga and the Jets. And she was good on
painful.
That, but then she tried to sing one of her songs, and he tried to sing with her, but he couldn't really follow her because she's not really followable.
Right.
And she had Muppet hair.
Oh my God, she had Muppet
hair. Horrible.
And he really can't sing anymore.
I love
like,
him though.
I do too. But somebody has to tell him.
Yeah.
Gigs up.
Yeah.
Well, like, you can't hit those high notes.
In concert.
And it's everybody behind him that's
selling it.
That's selling it because he honestly can't hit. He has no falsetto left. Mm. He's got nothing. There's nothing left. He's given you like one monotone. So to him, and she can sing. As crazy
she
as she
can
is.
Sing. Oh, girl can sing.
Yeah, that makes it very hard for someone who's 70 years old and on his really last follow. Toupee.
Well, and it was very it was last very plug. Cool to
welcome last plug. Ba-doom, tsh, plug, plug, thanks. Plug.
Welcome Colombia.
Hello, Colombia.
The listenership.
The country?
Yes, somebody from
that's
Colombia.
That's way better than like Columbus, Ohio,
so or Columbia University.
We'd love to hear where you are.
Both are lovely.
Before I forget, and I was going to bring it up, but I thought no, because I'd be the only one who gave a shit about it. So there's a movie coming out. It's called Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and it is about
Mr. Pe- like the like,
from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Mr. Peabody.
That's who my Rocky's cute. Named after.
Who had the Wayback Machine, and Sherman yeah. was the kid that didn't understand history. So Mr. Peabody, the dog, taught him all about history, and they would flash back in time.
We're at 3 out of 4 again, because I got nothing.
Okay. Well, yeah. You remember Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But nah, it's not one of those ones I liked. I mean, I know what it is, but.
Boris and Natasha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
Another one of those things I never found funny.
Pixar is doing a Mr. Peabody and Sherman story. That's the deal.
Love it.
Cute.
But. Okay, so here's what gets me. And typically when you're going to do a remake, and I think one of the classics that the different people have voiced, but they always try to do it in an homage, if not really just try to get it right, is like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, who was voiced by Casey Kasem. All those
I
years.
Forget that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, Casey Kasem. If you listen to him,
immediately.
He always totally. So anyway, anytime they remake anything Scooby-Doo, Shaggy always sounds like Shaggy should. They've always got that whatever finesse to it. I was so disappointed. I saw the trailer for the Mr. Peabody movie. Mr. Peabody's not English. Oh. And they didn't even get close, not at all, to the voice. So it just lost it to me. And
did they say who?
I don't know. I didn't read the who's doing it. I was just bummed because I'm like, well, now I want to go back and watch the old animated. Right. Oh, and what I used to love is Fractured Fairy Tales, where they would have a fairy tale, and the whole story was fucked up and wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, the real story, and then, you know, Rapunzel would come out and see her shadow, and there'd be 6 more weeks of winter, or something stupid like that.
Sure.
The Fractured Fairy Tales were wonderful.
I had my students write those, and then we make puppets.
The Mr. Peabody movie is just, I'm not having a...
When is that supposed to be released?
I believe this Christmas. I don't know. And again, I just watched the trailer, and I was so disappointed, I couldn't make it through anymore. Wow, 45 minutes of Get to Know You Better, and I think it's time we're going to do a little bit of headlines right here.
Still shorter than Katie's here.
Something like that. Here's a look at newsy stuff that we dug up and thought, well, what the hell? We'll talk about this. Why not? A man is arrested 62 times for simply going to work.
Gay weddings in Hawaii. Really aloha.
Somebody's dating an Oscar winner.
Disgusting homophobic tweets.
Condo uses DNA testing to bag dog poop.
Huh. There's an alcoholism vaccine?
Oh, yes. No topless haircuts for you.
And we're going to pay alcoholics to keep streets clean.
Oh, we should. That's a good idea.
I have one last one.
Go.
The dykey character from Top Gun is now...
How is Tom Cruise?
Yeah, exactly. Is now the Deputy Secretary of War or Defense.
Huh?
For real, the woman that they just put in, she's the interim. I think it's Deputy Secretary, whatever Chuck Hagel is he's the Secretary of Defense now?
Babe?
I want to say yes.
Oh, she's out there.
The
somewhere.
Deputy Secretary is the woman who the character of Kelly McGillis is based on in Top
Gun.
I was trying to picture who was in Top Gun.
It turns out it was based on a real person, and she's been lingering around waiting for her next shot at fame, and she got it today. And what the fuck is in the kitchen? Because it smells delicious.
It is.
I can't smell anything.
For dinner, and I haven't eaten yet.
Did you get the
I was
side?
Out there, and it was...
Oh my gosh,
it looks fantastic.
Hey, want some? Bring some in.
No, I'm good. Sit down. We got shit to do.
You can go get me a piece, though. I won't turn you down.
God.
Okay, I'll bring it in.
Just bring it in.
Yeah. I want the mushroom. We'll get a hot plate. Bring it in.
There you go.
Cheesy Pete's. It's good to have a woman around the house. Longmont,
I've heard.
Colorado. Well, you are a woman, aren't you? Okay, there's that.
Check again.
A woman who allegedly offered topless hairstyle services in northern Colorado now faces criminal charges. But police say the problem isn't cutting hair without a top. Well, no, it's cutting hair without a license. The Longmont Times reports 46-year-old Suzette Hall was arrested Wednesday night on suspicion of practicing cosmetology without a license. Hall's former partner says she advertised $45 topless haircuts online. And according to the arrest warrant, the former business partner called police about the topless styling because she said she did not believe that it was safe or proper. Police were not able to turn up any Craigslist ads, and Hall's ex-husband told police that she set up shop in Loveland. Loveland, really? And offered her services as a, quote, rebel barber. He told police she applied for a new license for hairstylist, but there is no such license in existence.
I love it. I wanted to be fully licensed.
But they didn't have that license.
Alas. Oh, and if it was a crime to practice cosmetology without a license, let me tell you about the 80s and how many people's hair I dyed stoned in my basement.
Well, did you charge them? Or is it just a freebie?
No.
Oh, I don't know. It was a flowbie. No, I don't know.
No, a freebie. A freebie's different if you're a professional. But yeah, there's a lot of licensing.
I got it.
Yeah,
what about this quiche serving? Do we need a license for this shit?
No, but
I don't do things right.
No, you do everything right. I just don't want any of that red shit on my
half
stuff.
Half is peppers, deliciousness, and half is fungus, like what grows on your feet.
I enjoy both. Not your descriptions, but the actual food groups.
Yeah,
that you're
can make it French and all of a sudden you have to pay extra for it, we're on board. But otherwise, don't tell me what's in the sausage.
Yeah.
Marnie, since you're cutting that, do you want me to go on?
Yeah, go next.
Go ahead.
Well, here's a story that just popped up late this afternoon on my newsfeed, actually. But I figured Al might have some sort of it was a tie-in for Al. Well, the Visionary, and though I don't think you've ever eaten this product, it's related to where you used to work. The Visionary behind the billion-dollar taco, Doritos Loco Tacos, who never made any money on it, Todd Mills passed away on Thanksgiving Day. He died after battling brain cancer and is survived by his daughters, Tyler and Lainey. He actually was back in 2009. He wrote a letter to Frito-Lay after he repeatedly had made some sort of a taco salad and used Doritos in the salad and kept saying to his wife that somebody should make something of this. So he wrote a letter in 2009 to Frito-Lay pitching the idea, and their response literally was, thanks but no thanks. So he then created a grassroots level way to get this done, and he had made a Facebook page called Taco Shells for Doritos Movement, and then encouraged people to join on the bandwagon, Cool Ranch, and then there's the fiery ones, and there's regular Doritos, blah, blah, blah. Well, after being online for so long, actually somebody from Taco Bell sent him a note one day and said that we kind of liked your idea, thought it was pretty cool. So when the Taco Bell chefs, wherever they are, got this idea together, they actually flew him from Little Rock, Arkansas, and he was one of the first people to try the new product. And again, never claimed that he never wanted any money for it, just thought it was a cool idea and thought it was so excellent that his idea went over so well that in tribute to him after his passing, several people that knew him then posted pictures on his Facebook page of them eating his Doritos Locos tacos that he had an idea
oh,
for.
How kind,
but I thought it was
so
cool. Last year, Taco Bell's sales exceeded $1 billion just of those, just of the Locos tacos.
You're kidding.
And
wow.
I think they're wonderful. I mean, nobody should eat all that, but they're great. They're cool. They're wonderful. Who wouldn't come up with that idea?
I still never tried one.
They're great.
I don't think I have.
I've never tried a Cool Ranch one, but I like
the fiery one. I love
it. I can do one of them.
The fiery one is good.
75 bean burritos and onions in a row, but only one Burrito Taco at a time.
That's an interesting after effect.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
I do the Burrito Supreme green sauce, no onions.
No. Oh,
it may need more salt and pepper. I have no idea.
We could share Taco Bell.
There we go. Marnie, you're up, girl.
Well, their gay weddings became a reality.
Bitch, please.
Gay weddings became a reality in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Tiny
bubbles.
There was this fantastic couple that they did a story on for the idea of this becoming a reality there. The retired professors, Rod Powell and Bob Ettinger, they've been partners, it says partners in life, since they met at the University of Hawaii in 1977.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Charming.
It's been 36 years.
Same year as Smokey the Bandit.
Longer than I've been alive.
Do they have a Trans Am?
They may. At this point, we don't know. Google that, please.
Yeah, would you?
Anyway, so the day that it became legal to get married, on the first day is when they decided to do that, but they did it differently. They had Bob Ettinger, who was a big time civil rights person, advocate, and this gal Carolyn and her husband, they invited them to lunch, and she was able to marry them, and they did that all over lunch.
Oh.
So they kept it very, here's not a big ceremony, here's not this and this. But before that had happened, Bob, apparently Rod looked at Bob and said, "Hey, would you choose me again?"
Aww.
And he looked at him and he said, "I choose you every day."
Aww. That makes me weepy.
And I think that about says it all about how we feel about each other. Right? But I thought that was just so incredibly wonderful.
That's how I feel about you, honey.
Aww.
How do you like them apples?
There you have it. And
who's throwing up in the chat room right now?
I am right now.
They're 78 and 74. And they've raised 3 children, and they've cared for ailing parents in their 36 years together.
Wow. Busy boys. So,
really, yeah. And they've...
How does their lawn look, though?
Well, they're in Hawaii.
I think it's probably lovely.
Oceanfront property.
So they had a lot to do with championing.
She's not even drinking.
That's a tough word, though.
It all of a sudden, God. That's not sounding right. But
all these words are making me think of segues. You said champion. I got a story about that.
Do you know how to spell segue? I misspelled it in a college paper once, and my professor corrected me. Never forgot it.
Is
it
S-E-G-U-A-Y?
No, S-E-G-U-E.
Oh, yes.
And I spelled it like segue, but anyway, continue,
charming
please.
Story.
Wow, this is what happens when I drink. And I don't eat before I drink.
There you go.
I hate failing spelling tests.
Please.
To that point in the story, there was a story on, I can't recall if it's CNN radio I was listening to or what news outlet it was. It wasn't Fox, I assure you that. There is a couple that went to another state and got married and the divorce is, they're already wanting to get divorced and they don't know, the legal system in where they live doesn't recognize the marriage, so they can't divorce them. So apparently the deal is now you got to go back to the state where you got married or something to that effect.
Didn't that happen with people we know that live here, Marnie?
Yes. I feel like that story
A couple
is
that
very...
went off to the East Coast to get married and then Splitsville and then wanted to get divorced, but they have to go all the way back to Vermont to do it.
Yes, I feel like we just told this. Like, I feel like that was a story I just heard at a party.
Oh, come on.
Here.
Good luck. Come on.
No, but I just think... But I think that also...
Yes, okay.
That took me way too long.
But that story lends me to think, again, you know, just because the gates are open to the pool doesn't mean you got to swim. So let's all just ramp it back, Joan. Right. The ones that, like the gentleman that you just spoke to, have been together for so long. Get married. I get that. That's your deal. But if, you know, 10 days you've been together, you're not getting married yet.
Right.
Let's just ramp that down. That drives me crazy.
But
we got
to convince straight people to do that, too, because how many people, how many couples
Britney
are there that are famous? Or
Britney Spears.
Right, but they've been able to do it forever. But I think the floodgates just opened all them. Like, oh, let's all get married. No, slow down.
My friend Shane's parents, I think they knew each other 7 days and they got married. Now they've been together like 30-some years. Right.
There are some stories like that, but there are others that... Are not.
No, they're probably like a 1 in a million.
Or 365.
Speaking of 1 in a million, let's go to our favorite state, Florida. We got a good story. I thought we could give it.
The pool has turds.
Yes, Laura.
Mirror has two faces.
Keep the pee out of my ool. What is that?
A woman who ate Thanksgiving dinner alone at a restaurant left a big surprise for those who worked the holiday shift that night.
Oh.
Florida Today reports the woman who didn't want to be identified says she needed her spirits lifted last Thursday night, and the staff of the Chart House restaurant apparently did just that. According to what she says, that they made her feel like a family member. They're always great to me, and I felt like I owed them a lot of gratitude for making my day. The woman sat at the bar, ordered a $29.95 Thanksgiving dinner, and spent 3 hours at the Chart House eating alone. When she left, bartender Kim Gasparini reached across the dimly lit bar for her check, and at first she thought the decimal had been placed in the wrong point in the check, though she thought the woman had left an $8.35 tip. But a note scrolled on a napkin instructed her and the other bartender that they each take $50 and split the remainder of the $835 tip between the other employees working that Thanksgiving day. Each worker got about $15 because there were 49 staff members working over the course of that whole day. News of the tip spread quickly among those who spent their holiday working at the restaurant. And the valet out there said that he heard about the tip, but he wasn't surprised that when he heard who left it. She's a very giving person, and we're just happy to have her here as a regular. But I thought that was very cool that she went in and little old gal, just her family was gone. She ate alone and said that you're my family.
I can't remember. I don't think it was Barbara, but for some reason I think it was Barbara. On Facebook, someone put, if you're alone today.
Molly.
Oh, is that Molly? Mm-hmm. And I
loved that.
It became like a thing that people were doing it all over the place.
Oh,
like,
and maybe Barbara did. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, because I don't think it was Molly that I saw, but I did see a couple different people, and it was like, if you're alone today and you're having difficulties, please call me. And we can talk. Like, aww, we can be friends for today, or if you're not an asshole, maybe longer.
Maybe longer. So.
Because, I mean, I never, and, like, I just don't think of holidays the right way, I guess. That I'm like, I just do it when people are available. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I just don't see the point of getting locked down on that date. Especially when they throw Thanksgiving to, like, the 22nd, the 29th, the 28th, and all of a sudden you're obligated to like people one particular Thursday.
Right. Pick a Thursday. So because...
That's funny.
Because sometimes I'm asleep by this point in the evening. Am I allowed to bring up a related story to your headline story?
Well, you are, but let me tell you how that's going to work.
After the break.
It's going to work after we do the crossover.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah, crossover. Is that exciting?
Yeah.
And it goes something like this. See, the music starts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the show. It's coming up at the end of hour one. Hour two coming, well, just next, actually. We got some more headlines. Something that struck a fancy with
tips.
Ernie.
Tips. Has to do with tips.
Tits or tips?
Not penises.
No.
Tips.
Tip. T-I-P-S. Yep. Just the tip?
Just the tip.
There you go.
Thank you.
Just the tip, my friends.
Ernie Henderson in studio with us tonight, filling in for Katie June, who is busy doing something elsewhere, and I'm sure it involves a diet and something where ADD kicks in. Well, if your ADD hasn't kicked in, stick around. We got two more hours to go. The drinking game's coming up in just mere moments. Later on, Al's going to have a stimulating conversation with himself about entertainment.
You betcha.
We'll be back. It's the show on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 8 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show. My name is Clayton McKee, sitting here alongside Aaron Henderson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. Hang on. What do you need?
Fork.
Yep. You need my fork?
Yeah.
Oh, stand by. I can't.
It's been a fork issue.
Thank you.
Good Lord. There's a lot going on in the studio right now.
Mm-hmm. Just give him the whole thing.
But we, Marnie's serving up some sort of a wonderful quiche. Did Aaron make? Who made this?
Marnie did.
Marnie made it.
Delicious.
Great. It is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like it.
It really is. What are, another
one? And I'm a sucker for quiche. No, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Okay. Two pieces was plenty.
Okay. It's all good.
Oh.
So, like I said, beginning of hour two, we have two more hours to go. And what we do is we kick off each and every second hour with a little thing we call the drinking game.
We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Good luck.
Ooh, I don't know what that is.
My guitar solo.
Love the music.
Well, now I'm torn.
Oh.
But I'm going to go with my
between
original
Between two
one.
Lovers?
Yeah, between two. Feeling
Feel like
a
fool?
Yeah.
Loving, breaking all the rules.
Both of you are breaking all the rules.
I love it.
Well, I guess we'll go with, since for the Aloha state, we'll go with Aloha.
Hmm. Aloha.
It's good. And it can stand for anything is the best part about those people.
It really can.
That's true.
I like it. Make it like a high, make a honey home.
My favorite thing about going there with those crazy fuckers is when you go to Oahu, the tourist island, they just will not let you alone. Like, every tour you go on, can I get you to say aloha and do this fucking thing with your hand? And I'm like, I am not that kind of tourist. Drive the fucking bus and shut up. Is there an audio tour without this shit? And then you go to Maui, the island with that, they don't care. You can say hello, goodbye, aloha, fuck you. They could care less.
That sounds like where we need to go.
It's an island on Valium. And they, ooh, like...
When and that's you, where you like to go?
I enjoyed both, but yeah. I have to tell you that it was very relaxing to have no one try to teach me their Polynesian phrases, because I just don't care. You're just making sounds with a lot of K's. You know what I mean? Let's all just admit this is not a language.
Like,
and never
speak
was.
Hebrew. You're just
yeah. You're just getting ready to spit on someone.
Totally.
So, I mean, it was the funniest thing when I went to, like, and like you walk down the place with all the boats, and they're all for rent. Everyone's got something to sell. If you were in Oahu, every one of those people would be your best friend and offering you a deal. The people in Maui were like, whatever. And they just watch you walk by. Like, if you stop and ask, they'll do something. But if not, they could give a rat's ass.
Just don't care.
Nope, no
Sounds
one cares.
Sounds like that's my island, and you're on the island where people are friendly and talking to strangers. That's yours.
And I had to crack up because I seriously was by myself, and I was in such a delightful mood the entire week because no one talked to me, and I didn't talk to them.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it was a great feeling.
I love what that.
What a feeling.
I'm going to go with you on that. I think that sounds pretty goddamn good as a vacation. Now, before we left hour one, you interjected in the very waning seconds
I
of that hour.
Twilight of
you
the
had
hour.
Something that you
I
wanted to interject.
So you mentioned about the woman who had Thanksgiving at the restaurant and left a large tip.
Yes.
Have y'all heard about this whole tips for Jesus business?
Oh, and
there is someone or a group of someones that are going around and leaving just ridiculous tips. Here in Ann Arbor, a $3,000 tip on an $87 tab. And then at a different bar, a $7,000 tip on a $200 bill. And the tips are clearing. Like, this money is clearing, and these people are getting this size
Why
tips.
Why is Jesus
and
involved?
They write on the tab, tips for Jesus.
I think they're trying to get away from all the bad press they've gotten for the
Being
people
dicks?
That weren't leaving tips. And then the one tip, the one story turns out
woman?
Was fake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I
turns
have
out that
one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple stories that were true, and then hers was fake, but she got a lot of donations.
She got a lot of donations that she said she'll now donate to the Wounded Warrior Project. But at the same time, has she come out and said, yeah, I did this?
Yeah, she did.
She did, because I hadn't heard that. I saw an update where she said, well, it wasn't my writing.
Oh, she did confess now?
I didn't hear that she confessed. She said that wasn't my writing. I don't know.
But they didn't. Actually did not tip her.
Right. They showed their. They came up with their receipt and said, "This is what we did."
Oh no! It showed they tipped her.
Yeah.
They
showed
$10.
It was like a.
They showed a bank statement. Everything.
It was 20%.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was that they didn't tip her and she wrote the part about Jesus to get back at them.
No.
Left a legitimate tip.
This is the picture.
So a lot of conversation about tips.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah, they produced the receipt.
Well, that's good for them.
Wait a minute. We did not do that. Right.
It's good for them.
Uh-huh. But she said that she did not.
Yeah, but
and what a stupid thing to do when you know that the bank's going to clear it and those people are going to remember the.
And now this is maybe she didn't think it'd be all national like that. But.
Well, she probably didn't. Also, did you hear the interview with her when she was explaining her way out of that paperback?
No.
Stammer. I don't know. Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Did she grab her crotch a lot?
I didn't. It was just an audio. It was
she did
an
a Michael Jackson.
Right.
Aloha.
Big lesbian. Aloha.
But her the way she stimmered and stammered in that interview, it's like, I kind of know what happened here, but it's not my writing.
God, that's a snowball right there.
Well, this tips for Jesus business to get us off angry lesbian onto Jesus, which
another angry lesbian.
Yeah, another angry lesbian.
Yeah.
They write the account where all this money is coming from says doing the Lord's work one tip at a time. It says the tips range from $500 to $10,000, and the last one.
Why aren't we serving?
No shit. The last one was a surprise tip of $5,000 on a $576 bill on November 30th in Washington at a bar.
Wow.
What I like is all these tips from Jesus are happening at bars, so I know that they're drinking, which is
wine into water. Wine
drink
into water
for
that's
Jesus.
Right.
I will drink for Jesus.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I was raised Methodist and I'm a booze hound, but
me
I was
too.
Also raised.
But me too, but I told you that story where my sister's wedding reception couldn't be in the basement of the church she got married in because we drink. They'd like ixnay.
They're like, no.
Mom's like,
no,
nobody from church is coming.
Well, there you have it.
I think that's bullshit. I mean, I like the big tips, but calling it tips for Jesus, really?
It says at tips for Jesus. Check it out at tips for
Jesus. Well, I mean, if it's to get you to go to their website or get involved with their thing.
It's
and
working.
Hey, they need a PR campaign. These are people in need of some PR.
I never thought of that angle, so that's it.
But could you imagine like being a server and being nice enough?
Speaking of which, I hope to God we're going to get, no pun intended. I hope we're gonna come around to the refreshing new Pope here in a few minutes. We're going to talk about that.
But, and the other thing I want to say is like this PR thing. If you've noticed, Walmart commercials are on like 24 hours a day because they have all the money in the world. every third one might
be... all their money from their employees.
Right, exactly. Every third one might be for, like, a special they're having or the thing. Mm-hmm. But all of them now are for, like, we're not the evil empire. Like, don't hate us anymore. Stop.
And we're sending our
people to school. I have a 401k. I go to school.
I get promotions. And it's all a bunch of bullshit because
they... I fast-forward through that shit.
No, but you have to watch them because I'm like, obviously the campaign is getting to them that people are like, please don't please don't shop at these companies that are proven to not pay their employees a livable wage. And this fucktard Republican that was on CNN was like, well, people have a choice. If they don't like Walmart, they can go somewhere else. No, asshole. Go to middle America and take a look around. All the small businesses are gone because Walmart drove them out of business. You gave them all the tax breaks in the world. You drove out the small businesses you pretend you're for. And now people have to shop at that goddamn scum hole. And they have no choice.
They have nowhere else
to work. That's the only place to get a job. And they're not making a living wage. They end up on food stamps that you turn down, too.
Right.
So you're giving all the money to Sam Walfuck or whatever his name is.
Walton. Hey, what was his name?
Aloha to that shit. I couldn't have said it any better.
I mean, those people are the scum of the earth. That family.
I agree.
I can't even imagine the amount of coercion it would take to get me inside that building with those fuckers.
You and me both, my
friend. Is the evil empire. And when you have a choice in a big city, please do not go into a Walmart. Go somewhere where they pay their employees. It is slave labor. You might as well go whip somebody.
Well, speaking of a scum of the earth, let's transition to the things that...
I could kiss you.
Thank you.
Let's transition into things that, if left long enough, would actually absorb into the earth. A lovely city called Braintree,
Massachusetts. That's a nice segue.
Yeah, well, I had to do anything to get us out of that.
Thank you. Aloha.
Tirade number one. Please stay tuned. Yes.
There'll be more. Braintree, Massachusetts, which is a lovely name for a city. An apartment condo managers there dogged by complaints from those who've been experiencing the squishy and smelly sensation of stepping onto a pile of dog do or turning to DNA testing to identify the culprits of these dogs. Who don't clean up after their pets.
I love it.
Who takes the DNA sample from the pet?
Listen to the fucking story and...
Oh, you got an Al yell at. Usually he saves that kind of...
I love you, Al.
You and your goddamn dogs, listen to this. Because this is... I'm on board for this. Orwellian. Well, in this latest twist of a long-running struggle to keep canine waste off lawns, hallways, elevators, and other common areas of animal-friendly community buildings, DNA monitoring has yielded immediate and dramatic results in this Massachusetts condo community. It's called Devonwood, where maintenance staff previously reported seeing, stepping into, or driving over several piles of dog droppings each week on this 350-acre property. Well, so here's what they did. They had a problem with it, and they figured out that they do DNA testing for so many different things, and I never thought about this, and I'm guessing it happens to every species that defecates somewhere, your DNA is in that. Mm-hmm. So what they do is it's now a part of the it's a part of your residency there. If you have an animal, if you ever acquire an animal, the animal is swabbed for a DNA test.
I love it. Swab
for a DNA test because all of the owners that came out and the guy's like, well, I saw your dog crap on the line. You didn't pick it up. And the guy's like, prove it.
Not my dog.
Well, now all of a sudden all the dog shit's picked up because everybody's dog gets swabbed when they come onto the property. They have a database of DNA. If dog poop, which has now only been found 3 times since they started doing this. Hallelujah or aloha. Whatever it is. They ship it off. If there's a pile is found, they ship it off to a lab who analyzes it. And if there's a match.
A lab? Like a Labrador?
No.
Yes. A Labrador retriever analyzes all of it.
It's a Knoxville, Tennessee-based BioPet vet lab, which specializes in testing DNA from dog poop to identify offending animals. BioPet has beefed up its staff with more scientists to meet the demand because apparently this is happening all over the country, not just from this one place. So what happens?
For decades.
So I live in the ghetto. I'm not worried.
I don't recall what the story said, if the three offenders that it had happened, if they actually found a match or not, but they are then fined $150, which pays the fee for them to ship it off to get it tested and get it assessed $100 fine on top of it. But it amazingly cleared up all the dog poop problems in this country. I think every place that has dog, or, you know, not just any animal. Any animal that you're going to bring,
of God's creatures that shit somewhere
that you're having trouble with them cleaning up after. I think that's fantastic.
Sure.
Number one offense is throwing your fucking cigarette somewhere that's not an ashtray.
When I was a smoker, I used to say that the earth is God's ashtray, and so you could do
you
that.
You did. You, of all people, said that?
I was younger.
Who the fuck
There's
were you?
There's a Chinese kitten about to die.
I was high on nicotine.
Aloha.
Yeah, I cannot imagine that that is coming out of your tree-hugging ass.
I used to say the word retard.
Can you believe that shit?
Way to get you out of jail.
I cannot imagine that you ever did anything like that.
When I started smoking, I was 15 years old, and I said that kind of shit then. I'm a lot different now than I was then.
I just am really taken aback.
That's offense number one that I'm okay with caning or, you know, lynching. But
canning.
Canning. Number two is people that like watch their dog shit and then walk away.
Oh.
And that's the first step to cleaning up New York, was that the mayor ran on cleaning up the dog poop on the sidewalks. And I can't remember. I don't think it was Dinkins, by the way.
So did Harvey Milk.
Right, and I was just going to say, and the other one was Harvey Milk, famously, was if you find the person that promises to clean up the dog poop in the city, you will win the election, because no one cares about the politics. Right. They just want to walk down the street at night and not get dog shit on their shoes.
That's right.
And it turns out both candidates won.
See?
On the dog poop platform.
So my Rocky named after Rocky Bullwinkle, does not shit on walks.
Nothing up my sleeve.
That's going to work. He really does not shit on walks, and I don't bring bags for him. I don't think ahead about this. And so a couple weeks ago, we're walking, it's dark out, and Rocky goes onto some man's front yard with the man sitting in his doorway, and Rocky takes shit, and I don't have a bag. And so I look at the guy and I go, do you have a plastic bag? And he didn't see Rocky take the shit. And so I was like, do you have a plastic bag? Right, so complete stranger, do you have this? And he goes, yeah, what do you need it for? And I go, my dog just pooped on your lawn. He goes, every animal in this neighborhood poops on my lawn. Leave it. It's fine.
Oh,
Because my whole neighborhood, there are feral cats everywhere, and the cats shit everywhere. There's also broken glass in my neighborhood, and I'd like that to be gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because my dogs cut their paws.
When does your house go on the market? Because I think you just need a better neighborhood.
It's coming.
My neighborhood's on its way up. Neighborhood's on the way up.
Your neighborhood is on the way up.
I know. And the broken glass, which would you rather, dog shit or dog Pablo,
you know what we should do? We should get a fundraiser, and Marnie could establish this, because she can get any pop figure to show up anywhere for no money. We get Annie Lennox to show up and sing that song, Walking on Broken Glass.
There you go.
And we can raise money in your neighborhood to clean up that.
Parenthetically, while avoiding dog shit.
The theme of the fundraiser, watch your step.
Oh,
that's good.
Nicely
work,
played.
That
nicely
is good.
Good work. Yes, I like it.
All right, I'll give you one aloha.
Thank you for the one.
And I'll raise you a hallelujah.
Yeah.
Marty, take it away.
So, the Olympics, Summer Olympics.
Coming, aren't they? No, that's the winter. I'm sorry.
The winter ones are coming. Yeah. The Summer Olympics that were.
Oh, Rio, right? Oh, that was.
Oh, yeah.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lovely little gentleman that I do recall.
Me having a big giant crush on.
A real giant crush on.
A little elf. Little Christmas elf.
Tom Daly.
Diver.
Not to be confused with Tom Delay. Totally different.
Totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, just a cutie. Yeah. Young kid, 19, came out. And I think to the gay community was not a shock.
No, it was just finally.
To those of us with eyes, I think we can expand the horizon.
These are the same people that didn't think Elton John or George Michael was gay.
Right.
Or Lance Bass.
Right. Or
Anderson Cooper.
We
have a list of surprise people.
There's a litany of people, yeah.
He gets cuter. What the fuck?
He really does.
Who? No.
Jinx. Anderson Cooper.
Yeah,
he does.
He's adorable.
Those steel blue eyes. I'm sorry.
Let's all do a Katie June. He's adorbs.
He's adorbs.
Adorbs. Totes adorbs.
He interviewed.
Totes adorbs.
Yeah.
Totes
adorbs. He interviewed the family of the dead people from the train crash.
Yeah.
And I mean, the older kid was speaking very eloquently. The younger kid was trying to keep a brave face. And the mom was just squeezing the hand of the middle child, who was just broke fucking down.
Yeah. Mm.
He was head in his lap sobbing, couldn't even look at the camera. And the older son is trying to say something while trying to be like elbowing his brother, like,
get it together.
Please, let's try. Yeah. And you could just see the mom. She wasn't let go of that kid. Yeah. And Anderson Cooper's like, my dad died when I was 10. Oh. So I can't even imagine that you guys are sitting here telling the story. And I'm like, comedy. I need a comedy.
Right.
Got to get a comedy on the TV now.
This because I've had 2 glasses of wine. Yeah. I'm welling up.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I did
and
not
then I was like,
that.
I'll just go there and blow you under the desk.
Right.
For just being a charming human being to
talk
three
about
small
your
children.
Ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Here's your 360.
I'd spin all the way around.
Well played. I like it.
Full world tour.
Yes.
I like it.
I already got red wine on one shirt.
So
tonight.
The chairman, Edward Lord, of the Amateur Swimming Association, to be one of first.
Wait a minute.
What? Oh.
I just realized that the abbreviation for association is ASS, and you said amateur swimming. And I never mind.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good.
For someone to be he's the first British Olympic athlete to come out. Apparently. Mm-hmm.
And he's a big fucking deal in Britain. Like,
he really is.
We just think of him as like someone to stalk and that he's a little cutie pie. But I mean, they did TV specials on him. He was the poster child for the British Olympics. He was on almost all the billboards. Yeah. And he was the they had TV
deal.
Specials about him, and his dad died right before the Olympics. He was the feel good story.
Yep. He
almost always basically nude. I mean, you can't go wrong with this kid.
Well, there was a comedic thing that I saw where they were doing something for the British Comedy Awards where they're trying to have a meeting to figure out who is going to host something or do something. And like everybody who's a British star winds up being in this conference room, like Paul McCartney's in it. And then they have George Michael's actually in the car that the guy drives to the thing in. And then Tom Daly sitting at the don't you ever wear clothes?
Yeah.
Going around That's this cute. Table about who's going to host and who's going to host.
I have not seen that. That's
it's very cute.
They said he's kind of a pedophile's dream because...
Yeah. Well, that's what we were saying during the Olympics. I'm like, boys, seriously?
Well, did you see Buddy Early's Facebook post today that
no.
He says, well, since you asked, I think it's creepy that 39-year-old Dustin Lance Black is dating 19-year-old Tom Daly. And if you think I'm being judgmental, I am.
Oh, is that who the boyfriend is?
Well, apparently.
Know that.
That goes to my story that says somebody's dating an Oscar winner.
Shut the fuck up. Is that...
Sorry.
Sources exclusive tell E! News that Daly has been dating Dustin Lance Black, the 39-year-old writer who has won an Academy Award for his screenplay of Milk, the 2008 biopic about gay rights
Look
activist
at this go full
Harvey
circle.
Milk.
Catch it.
Yeah,
dog shit.
Back in October, Daly and Black responded together for the first time grabbing a snack at the Coffee Bean in West Hollywood.
Well, he's legal to drink at a Coffee Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Okay with that.
Whatever.
I gotta tell you, I'm okay. He's international celebrity.
He's been around. My daddy. I don't know.
His dad just died at 17 years old, who was his entire life. Finding a father figure somewhere, not the biggest psychological leap.
No.
That Rorschach's not going to be that hard to read. It's a butterfly fucker.
He is a dope. There are some...
That ink spells Aloha.
The picture that he... actually, if you go to our Facebook page and you look at that... Because I posted this...
Is my nose bleeding?
I don't know. Okay. I posted the story, which I know how that feels because I've spent... Yeah. I actually done an entire show like that because nose was going to bleed. But if you go to our Facebook page, I did post a story about that very... The E-Online story of them. The picture... The guy, the 39-year-old... but that picture... Picture of Daly looks adorable.
Does it? Yeah.
Adorable. And he's got a shirt on.
Dustin Black Jr., whatever the hell his name is, he's a cutie and a very smart guy, and he's on the right page with everything and a mile time.
Well, he's writing screenplays and winning Academy Awards. There's not anything wrong with that.
The thing, he went out and he did this on YouTube. He came out on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he was nervous about it, but he's like, I have something to tell you, kind of thing. And it was... I don't know, very sweet, kind of how he did it. Not really just out there, no pun intended.
And said he still, he dates girls, but he has a happy relationship. So we're still playing the bisexual card because he's 19. We'll play that for as long as we can for endorsement deals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bisexual men are just afraid to say they're gay.
Yeah, it's just one stop on the train ride to gay town.
Mm-hmm. People laugh at me when I say that, but that shit's true.
Yeah, because there's no.
And did you happen to see Aaron Lopez? I rarely read anything Aaron Lopez posts or says.
But thanks for listening.
Yeah. But he posted immediately, like within probably an hour after Daly coming out. I read it specifically because of what the headline was, and here comes the hate. And it was just an entire list of the hateful tweets.
And the tweets were horrible.
Horrible.
They had this 20 disgusting, there were more.
It was, there was a lot more.
There were more, but the tweets that came out, there were a lot, very much in support.
Let's just ignore them.
That's just it. Very much in support. A long time ago, there was something that I read that was the negative spin. And we talked about that. Like, let's just ignore that kind of stuff and not give it any fire, right?
Yeah.
Not fuel the fire. But there was that whole, we kind of all went back and forth about, you kind of need to know
that
audience and how people act in the craziness. so he had put on his, Tom Daly had put on his Twitter account, got something I need to say, not been an easy decision to make, hope you can support me. And not everyone was so big on it. You just lost a fan. Go to hell, faggot.
But I like later on in the day he posted,
thanks for all your support.
Thanks for all your support. Like ignoring all of them.
Like ignoring. And there were so many. I can't believe Tom Daly's gay. Some douchebag puts on here. So it turns out that Tom Daly used to be the guy to sit on the white bits in his PE lessons. Because, again, all from Britain. And they have a picture of what apparently
the bench with the white knobs.
Oh, right.
Stupid.
So, but they probably feel really nice after a warm pool.
Absolutely. So, but that's the kind of stupidity.
Aloha, bench.
Our viewer Shane.
And it was interesting when I was trying to think, because the using fag or faggot and all of that, we've discussed that before. Like, how not okay. Is it... not that it's different anywhere. I don't mean to sound ignorant, but truly was curious. They use fag over there often, but about a cigarette.
Yeah, it's a different word. Yeah.
Totally. But
because it means a bunch of sticks. It really is a bunch of sticks.
Right.
Well, and then you have like how people so loosely use the word retard here.
I've never met one of those people.
I don't know who they are, but you know, that
I've heard tales.
No, but I mean, there are different, you know, we know what it is.
Right.
And then we know how it's used. So is it similar?
No.
There? Okay, so
no,
not
it's
at all.
It's met with hate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, is it like just a free word that they use because they use it so often?
No, they know what to get to do it. And I really have to say, because I really do read a lot of the fanboy pages now. Like, I really do. Like, the first thing after I see a movie is I want, especially a couple of things that I saw this week, I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? So I want to see, like, other people's opinions. Yeah. Mostly I see movies alone. Lately I've been seeing movies with other people. But I'll see them alone, and I'm always like, what the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read it, and you can just count... If a thread, as they call it, if a thread in the fanboy pages reaches the sixth one, it's Obama's an N-word.
That's what it was we were talking about.
Right. And
it was
just
the tweets
you can
when
just
Obama
follow
won.
Something
yeah,
down.
That's what it was.
Yeah, but you can just follow any thought down to everything basically gets political. Eventually something will be about something
it's not
political.
Even political. It's hateful.
No. But what I'm saying is like the threads follow. If they get enough comments, it'll go to I hate you. You hate me. You're an asshole for thinking the movie was about that. You're an asshole because you didn't like the movie. You're probably a Republican. Obama's an N-word. I mean, that really is how every single thread goes. So now if you start off with something that's kind of controversial, you're at like faggot. Right. And I still can't say that other word. But
yeah.
N-word. And it's always, I mean, you just wait for it. And I seriously, like, I read through and I just crack up that I'm like, oh my God, we're talking about a movie about a sailor in the ocean, and there's no one of any race in this movie, but the N-word is in here and we're six comments
and we're running with it. Right. That's what, you were exactly right with that end tweet on this. However, Tom certainly isn't letting the homophobic bigots get him down. But the thing that I love, the one thing that I want to steal from this article was, while we've made a huge amount of progress as a community and LGBT individuals, it's important also remember that not everyone is quite so ecstatic about our political and social gains. These tweets serve as a reminder that this is no time to be complacent with our victories and that there's still a huge amount of work left.
And these
to
are
do.
People, it's the anonymity of being online, that these are people that would probably be like, oh, one of my best friends is gay. But then they go home and you can feel the hatred coming through the keyboards. As you're reading them, you're like, how did we get here? About Tron.
Right.
Like, how did we get
Tron?
No, but
Aloha.
But you got to go to a fanboy kind of movie. Oh. Like, you're talking about something nonsensical. And all of a sudden you're at, and I mean, the name calling starts, seriously, if a thread hits six,
look at AZ Central articles. The second one down, it's hateful and mean.
Right, CNN articles. Uh-huh. And that's, because I go through, anywhere when I read a story like that, I go to the bottom, beneath the eight stories that aren't related, and four of them are Mark Kardashians, because how much money do those two cunts have to spend
there's a new
on
one now.
Publicity
there's a young one now.
I know, but how much money do they have? Because you have to pay to get on CNN. Someone is paying someone to get your story on CNN. Like, those cunts. So then you go past the eight Kardashian stories that have nothing to do with the story you just read. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the hateful comments.
I won't go
and
to
it's
those.
Like, yay for me, yay for you, you're a cunt. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I refuse to read those. So this morning
but it
I'm
is
out.
The, I think it's the anonymity. It honestly is. None of those people would say
I
any of that stuff
back
out
here.
Loud. Yeah.
Right. They're not going to ever say it on camera.
The problem is, this morning I'm out on basketball court duty, and the kids are swearing and swearing. I mean, these are middle school students, and they're shit this and fuck that. And I, like...
Give,
when
us a,
I was
give, me,
in middle
an, give
school,
me an age, just so I remember.
11 to 13.
Okay.
And
no, and I just wanted to fuck you out.
Did they arrest you for that?
But when I was in middle school, if I said sucks, it was like a bad word. Like, I didn't even say sucks.
Yeah, I remember those days.
And then today, I'm in a different room this week because we're doing something new. So I'm in a different room, and I had the door propped open on the outside. And it was the beginning of sixth period, and some kid comes out with another kid, and he goes, "You faggot," super loud. And I... Wow. And I'm the person on campus people send students to if they use gay or retarded. I'm the one that they send students to kind of put them in check.
Who can
a
we
bit.
Who can we send them to you too if they just sit in here?
Feel free, because I start with pick another word and then what do you really mean?
Yeah,
what word do you really mean? Aren't you Aloha. Smarter than
and,
that word?
And Doug and I finally we admitted it dinner the other night that we both still say, "Oh, that's so gay."
Yeah,
or like the time that somebody called something queer and the entire room went quiet as everybody looked at me, and I'm like, "Oh no, that is queer." You're that
but
is exactly
it,
the
isn't
right
it
word.
The same things on the basketball court, and I don't mean to be. That's where I was this morning. Was on the basketball court. Was black kids calling each other the N-word, and it's like you saying that's so gay, right? But if you say it, it's not. I don't know. I don't.
So how did you resolve? How did you resolve this child with?
I
the
went
F-word?
Out and I talked to them, and I did my normal.
Did you startle the shit out of them?
Oh yeah, you like to scare them really
how?
Bad.
Well, like, explain this to me.
Well, it usually
you're not giving away an industry secret here.
No, because nobody else has the balls to do it in my school. They all send them to me. It starts with like a mean, like, "What did you just say?" You know, and I'm very scary at school.
Probably still looking up to these boys. What did you say?
Oh my God, totally. Oh, yeah. By sixth grade, I'm looking up to them. But then I talk to him about, I pull some sort of, not race into it, but, you know, what if I used, you know, your hair color, what if I used the shirt you're wearing, whatever, and said, "Oh, that's so brown hair," whatever. But for this one, I said how offensive it was and what it really meant, because faggot, you think this person's just a pile of sticks, really? Well, that's intelligent. I'm glad you're smart enough to go to the school, you know. I sometimes insult their intelligence a little bit, but if they use gay or retarded, what word do you really mean? Are you really not smart enough to figure out a word that you mean? Because I think you're smart enough to pick a word that makes sense here.
Right. And, you know, a really good friend of mine, and I don't have to say my friend's mom because I'm very good friends with her too. But she said the one day, because she does not like swearing. And she knows that I just get the biggest giggle out of fuck. And she's like, "You're so smart. Isn't there a better word?" I'm like, no, sometimes that is the right word.
It's a fun word.
I don't know how to tell you this, but sometimes fuck puts the right emphasis.
It's so multi-purpose.
But you're instantly
really, every part of speech.
You're instantly on board with what I'm talking about if I give you a fuck Walmart. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And if I break out, because the C word's one, the cunt word's one I don't like. That's
really? And you've used it how many times?
But
here?
I'm way more offended by cunt than I am retarded.
Yeah, he's a cunt since the beginning.
That's funny because I say cunt all the time.
Outside of this show, I never say that word. I don't
at all. No, I only use it in an example if somebody says...
Talking
somebody,
about me?
No. Somebody came up to me last... cunt. Somebody came up to me last night and they're like, "Well..." they're like, "I hear you have a radio show." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, we do it every week." And he literally says to me, and I told him to listen. And I said, and if you're listening right now, you know who I'm talking about.
Hello.
He said, "Well, I'm a financial advisor with da-da-da-da. And I'd really like to come on." I'm like, "Oh, you don't understand." Like, we don't do real guests. And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" I'm like, "We sit around and drink for 3 hours and call people cunts like Brewer." And he's like,
Aloha.
And I said, "I'll make you a deal." I said, "You listen to three entire shows, and you then tell me if
and then you tell me where you want to fit in."
Right. Exactly what I said.
Maybe it's a market in Colombia.
Or use your mathematical skills to add up how many times we say the word.
Yeah.
Or fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, and I'm like, no offense to you, but I'm like, we aren't that show. We're not like an interview, feel good, you know, Good Morning Arizona. No. We're
even if I was
Arizona.
Doing a Good Morning Arizona, it's to be fuck you at the end. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. Morning's over. Morning. Fuck you.
Good morning.
Right.
Morning's different to the two of you than the rest of the world.
That's very true.
Did you have any more? Anything else?
Sorry,
on the story?
The only thing concerning Tom Daley that I thought was really cool was that his grandparents came out
Two?
Oh my God! Everybody's gay.
That was, Jesus.
See,
that
it's
was,
not. It's the accent in British.
That was a hell of a pause, right?
It's
there.
It's got to be the chips. Yeah,
I went to.
It's in the chips.
Oh, good. The fish and the chips.
The fish and the chips.
Yeah.
Well, the chips for the men.
So they came out and said, so they came out and support.
They came out and support, and it was perfect. It was very. It was very. We've always supported him. And we always
they
will.
Probably paid for most of his diving lessons.
Says right. We're not old-fashioned. In fact, we're quite liberal. But I do think he's too young to be making this sort of decision.
Or dating a 39-year-old.
Right? Well,
who's probably
that's
their
maybe
age.
The decision well, that we're talking
and it
about.
Says, you know,
his grandparents
we
are older than 40.
Barely.
Barely. We asked him if he was absolutely sure. He's our first grandson from our son who passed away.
See, wait a minute.
And, you know.
You have a penis. I have a penis. That makes you gay. Yeah. That's what Shelley, remember Shelley Trujillo did that?
Oh my God.
What the fuck? Can you do that?
I have not seen her in forever.
I'll tell you the story in a little bit. Yeah.
You have a penis, I have a Venus?
No. It's a long story. I'll tell you.
All right, sorry.
So anyway, it said, but we hugged him. We thanked him for coming to see us. And then we'll be seeing him over Christmas. They just kind of.
That's one of those kids that absolutely melts your heart. He's the cutest fucking thing on. He's practically a Christmas elf.
Yeah.
They should probably contact.
You can be mad at him for like 20 minutes and be like, oh, you're so cute. I can't stay mad at you. Come here. Exactly. Can I hug your half-nude body again?
Okay, if his grandparents are saying that, so
they should probably contact Sharon and see how she feels about how she feels about being told last that her daughter was gay or transgender or whatever she was.
Who?
I said Tom Daly's parents. Grandparents should probably call Cher. See how how did she handle being
Could
the
be
last
worse,
to know?
Yeah, he might want to chop it off.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, Tom, don't.
And wear those goddamn Sansa belts.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No Sansa belts.
Please, God, no.
I didn't even know what that meant until Dancing with the Stars of Chaz Bono.
On the same vein of the story of Tom Daly, another person who has been openly out and a public figure and has been a champion, for lack of a better word, for being a great on-air personality and an asset to Good Morning America.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know his name.
Sam Champion, who has been the Good Morning America meteorologist for many, many years. And when he left to get married to his partner, everybody on the acknowledged it. It was all wonderful and good. Good Morning America is such a fun show. I mean, I've always been a Today Show person.
They treat cancer so lightheartedly. I adore them.
GMA is just a great – they're fun and everything's going on in that story. Well, Sam Champion has made the decision. He was given what he calls – an opportunity of a lifetime. He is moving on to the Weather Channel to be the face and voice of the Weather Channel.
Oh,
and I guess we'll be doing some sort of a daily show on there.
He's sandwiched betwixt Al Roker's. Aloha.
So he's Sam Champion, an openly gay, married.
Does the Al Roker bread have gluten?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Okay. So I just thought it was kind of cool that Sam Champion's moving on,
really
doing something
cool.
Very cool. And again, I think tomorrow, maybe I'm wrong, but I think tomorrow is his big send off from GMA. Yeah. They're doing it. But I just thought it was very cool that he's.
In retrospect, like, their handling of his gay wedding, talk about, like, just throwing it out there and being like, fuck you, we don't care, because now the Thanksgiving Day parade got all the flack for doing kinky boots in the morning.
Yeah.
And Macy's was like, fuck you, we are not going to piss off gays. We're Macy's.
Right. We know.
We got our priorities.
We are Macy's in Lower Manhattan. Guess who we're, like, come on.
Right, this is going to work.
We're surrounded by Jewish people throwing a Christmas parade.
So we're not offending Jews or gays, either way.
Here's who we're not offending. So they did this big campaign, and but GMA was so funny. They were just like, last weekend, Sam Champion went off and got married. And they showed the pictures. There was nothing like a coming out. He had no big event. His coming out was, and I'm married. And then he did a talk show tour of ABC, because he went on The View.
I saw The View.
And The View was like, oh, you got married last weekend. Here's your pictures.
Boom.
There was no, it was like, seriously.
Sure. What made you come out?
We're not going to.
I know.
It was like, you got married. Congratulations. They completely played it. ABC that whole day just played that off perfectly.
I
know there was all the hateful faggot comments in the bottom of the
I know. I'm sure
the
there were as well.
Page.
I'll never watch Good Morning America again. I'm sure there was all that as well.
They stayed so above board. And then they got to be number one in the weight ratings. And now they're worried because they've been number one for a short time after 20 years of the Today Show being number one. GMA passed them last summer for the first time. Some say it's the Ann Curry thing.
I think
a lot
it's deserved.
Of
it's
lot
just
of, it's
they're
the chemistry of
wonderful.
Those people.
They're rapid fire and they're funny.
But they're worried now that people have fallen in love with this set of people who've all, you know, they've done other things to build up their credibility. Lara Spencer, is that her name?
The entertainment gal?
Yeah, she was on Kathy Griffith's show because she's a closet decorator on the cheap. And she
Remember that.
So she goes on stuff. Sam Champion was... They all had these extra projects that were bringing people in to make the number
to
one.
To watch them. Got it.
So now they're worried that what will happen to GMA.
They're replacing him with a woman who I guess she's been a fill-in on ABC for quite some time. but to the point that you're making, it would probably behoove them to bring another guy into that position just kind of keep that theme going. But that whole thing with Robin Roberts and her, the battle and everything,
another
and then bringing her back
to perfection.
Well, it couldn't have been better. It could have been better. She never would have had
cancer,
but,
right?
But for a delicate topic that they've got, and a woman who's on the brink of death and going through everything she went to,
and then her mom passed
dies.
Away.
Right,
mom has died. And then she was on the ESPY Awards when and that she was given that big Arthur Ashe Lifetime Achievement or whatever the hell that's called. Yeah, it was amazing. But but I think them being number one in the ratings is deserved because they are fun. I forget what reason it was, and I hadn't seen GMA, I think, since Joan London and David Hartman had done it back in the
80s.
How old are you?
But I'm with you. I used to watch it all the time.
So that's
wait till I'm in my mid-40s.
Whether my partner's here or not, that's because Joan London then was hot.
Oh, I think she's exactly...
Oh, that doesn't bother me. You talk about Mariska Hargitay, I'm going to turn Miss Piggy on your ass. But...
Okay, Frog, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Here.
What do you mean?
That was the funniest post.
Joan London,
fucking for real.
I just thought she was.
She still is.
She is a beautiful
lovely.
Woman.
Still sounds and looks exactly the same. But anyway, I hadn't seen GMA in a long time, and since I worked with an NBC affiliate, I've always been a kind of a Today Show person. I think CBS This Morning is horrid.
Yeah,
no matter
really
if Gayle King is in or not.
Which one is Julie Chen on?
That's the
CBS. Because
I love Julie Chen.
That's on the talk.
But I love her on Big Brother,
isn't it?
Hi, Julie.
I would rather have a lobotomy than watch that fucking show.
Oh, y'all can watch TV during the day, though. See, some of us don't get to watch any of these
shows. It's called a DVR. Trust.
Mine's full with housewives.
Charge somebody. Well, get another one.
Again, I'd rather have a lobotomy. But,
and Lady Gaga.
Same surgical procedure. Same
doing a channel surf, and I just jumped over to GMA to see what was going on.
What the hell are you doing up at that hour?
I don't know. I don't know. The point of this is I jumped on there.
Aloha.
I saw it.
I don't know.
Drink up.
It was just so much fun. It was just everything was happening, and da-da-da, and they jumped to entertainment. They go to news. They do this. It was just a good time.
Really get along.
A good time.
They are fake it very well.
And,
either way.
Yeah. And you can see the ABC HD in their Good Morning America set.
You can find every dollar
every
on
dollar.
ABC. I say that all the time. Whether you're watching Once Upon a Time or Revenge or Nashville or Ugly Betty, you can find every dollar they spent. Those people spend some fucking money.
Yes.
And they're broke. Well, they're Disney. So it doesn't matter what they do,
Disney
makes a fortune.
Which I thought was even funny because then The View goes to Disney
every
last
time
week.
They can. They cross-promote Disney.
No, I know they
like
do.
Like whores.
Because my friend Michael that works there...
They are.
Did the personal tour with she changes hair every day.
Sherry Shepherd.
3 or 4 weeks before they went out there, she flew out to do her tour where she won a round thing and he did it for her. So he's like, watch The View in 4 weeks. I'm going to be on. I'm with Sherry Shepherd. Blah, blah, blah. I actually didn't see his segment, but I saw the one because I almost said Streisand. Wow. Barbara Walters has never been to Disneyland until... this time.
Last trip.
She'd never been. So Kurt Russell walked her all over Disney because he's been there billions.
Oh, and it's good to give her something. It's give her to something that she taps it with. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know she looks at Kurt Russell pictures while she's whacking
batting
it.
Her head.
Well, she plays whack-a-mole.
I don't know that I ever want to think about Barbara Walters playing whack-a-mole.
And most of the time it's over women. Joy Behar always made the joke she was a closet dyke. And it's the truth because she was always hit on every member of Desperate Housewives. Every cast member. She especially loved the redhead. From Melrose Place.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Pants. Can't think of her name. Fabulous actress. But anyways, and then the one
fabulous lover. Don't know her name.
The little short one from Saturday Night Live. She was Debbie Downer. I never thought of her as pretty.
No,
oh,
not at all.
Sherry.
Nope. And she's who the 30
this is not
Rock.
A fun game
she was
me
supposed
right
to be
now.
The star of 30 Rock, but the network didn't think she was pretty, so they substituted
Tina Fey.
Jesus Christ!
No,
I need
the
to
blonde.
Stop drinking.
I can't think of anybody's
Amy
name.
Jenny Krakowski.
No.
Jenna,
yes, that
Jenna.
One.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
They changed
the one that
Jenna Krakowski with
yes.
her, right?
Right. They changed her. They wanted someone pretty because they thought and I can't think of her name. She was Debbie Downer, but they didn't want her. So she came on The View. And Barbara Walters like leaned across and she's like, I don't know why you get so much flack for being so unattractive. You have the most beautiful décolletage. And she's like stroking her right here and she's like, wait a minute. First off, I don't know what that word means, and why are you touching French. My boobs?
It's European.
It's European.
It was one of the funniest moments. And Joy Behar's like, I told you she's a lesbian. Like, I have told you a time wow. and again. But she seriously leaned across and stroked her. Why can't I think of her name?
I'm looking it up, and it's fucking not. Everything's Debbie Downer, Debbie Downer, Debbie Downer.
And it doesn't say her name?
Did you ever watch the one with Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
When they, oh, fucking
all the time when they're at Disneyland.
When I taught theater, I'd show that every time for what it looks like when you break up.
Before Marnie goes to her next story, I want to say hello to Thailand and Germany
hello.
Also listening. Thank you for being there, everybody. Marnie, go ahead.
I love it. Fuck? So there is a vaccine for alcoholism.
Don't want it. You don't need it.
You can opt out.
We have.
Yeah. Clearly.
I have another sip of my beverage.
So what it would do is it would send alcoholics, drinkers as it were,
yeah.
to an immediate hangover. I was intrigued by this.
But wait a minute. That just gets you the hair of the dog and you want to drink more to feel better.
I know two drugs
I'll
that already...
I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Rachel Dratch.
Thank God.
Sorry.
I would have never...
There's one called Antabuse. Which
yes, absolutely.
Antabuse, if alcohol gets in your system, you throw up. And then Flagyl is the other drug that mimics Antabuse. Mm-hmm. So if you're on Flagyl for any reason...
Okay.
And yes.
Why are you pointing at us that we would be on Flagyl?
You'll figure it out in a minute.
Menopause?
No. But
lesbians?
It mimics Antabuse, and you'll throw up right away.
What?
I will
why
text
do I have
you.
To quit yeah. drinking?
Give it
a, no, okay. I'm just telling you. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Herpes? Got it.
So that's there's your vaccine.
Wow, got it. Okay, so
it's actually it's in Santiago, Chile, and it's slated to begin.
Love Chile.
Their right.
Oh, different Chile.
Right. Pre-clinical trials of the world's first alcoholism vaccine. So it's a little bit different because that's a medication kind of ish thing. It would work by speeding up the hangover process to make drinkers feel like crap immediately after taking a swig, quickly experiencing
that gets a giant
splitting
fuck you for
headaches
me.
And nausea. Immediate non-gratification, people. So the thinking behind it that alcoholics will start to associate drinking, even just one sip, with its miserable side effects instead, and instead of like fun, you know, going out and being able to have fun and have a couple cocktails. Although the vaccine could be helpful for some, not everyone feels it would address the root of the problem. Really?
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're just putting a band-aid on a broken arm. You're
absolutely.
Not really dealing with the issue here.
As one anonymous...
Haven't changed that, and it's still annoying.
Well,
that's what I used
you.
To have for you. That was too much. As one anonymous recovering alcoholic
that.
Told the Santiago, I mean, a person needs to confront themselves. So it's that whole idea that you have to be able to admit. Admitting is the first step.
Right.
Is that like when I eat a whole bag of Doritos, I throw up sometimes?
Right.
Similar?
No, that's not the same. That's not the same at all.
So I still eat Doritos, but...
You're going to hurl after your first bite into a Dorito.
Okay, but you'll give me a vaccine, but I'll still want Doritos.
You're going to want Doritos a lot, but every time you go
to eat
a Dorito, you're going to be like,
bleh. Yeah, well.
Like that. Similar. And they're taking, on the other hand, in Amsterdam, they have a new and innovative way. Some people are saying controversial, but taking alcoholics, being on that rant, and they're going to pay them to keep the streets clean. I like that idea.
So in other words, you just keep them occupied. They won't drink.
Well you sweep
you're
up the broken
be
bottles
them
that you...
with beer.
And they can buy Thunderbird.
Oh, so we'll give you...
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're bartering.
Yeah. For the people that would be in the park drinking,
I bet
I
have people in my neighborhood that will do that for me.
Exactly. Fuck Amsterdam. My thought is...
dog shit, broken glass. I'll give you a can of Bud Light.
Clean up the canal.
For the lesbians.
You give that homeless person some money that lives in the canal at 7th Street behind Roscoe's. Mm-hmm. You give him a pool skimmer, and you let him go down that canal, and
you
pay him and tell him to let him live somewhere, and he gets to pool skim the canal.
Right.
Every fucking
done.
Day of all that trash.
How do we make this work with
but
stray dogs in my
pools,
neighborhood?
They have skimmers built into the canal.
Well, they're not working
well, they're
because
not
they're
working.
Filthy. They're those things.
No. The shopping carts and televisions are at the bottom of it. But I mean, if you go, you know very well, right there on 7th Avenue.
Filled with cups. I've never
seen
that clean.
But I don't know why SRP doesn't go out and fix that. But you're right. But that's,
pay the
that's
homeless
a skimmer.
Person. Give them a little bit of money. They have to pay taxes.
Think of the recycles.
Like taxes.
Oh, absolutely.
We get a clean canal. They get a job. Everybody gets a little
And everybody knows how good a clean canal is. Whoa! Unintentional.
I like it.
I recommend it. Whether you use saline coffee now. Or just warm water, please clean your canal.
Please.
Seriously,
please.
How do I make that happen with stray dogs?
Oh, stop with the dogs.
Please each clean day, your canal.
We'll have to figure that out later. It's a different
job.
Each worker would get about $13. They'd get a half a pack of rolling tobacco and five beers.
Perfect.
A day? What's the time
frame? Well, the cash plays for the hooker. And they get tobacco and alcohol to do afterwards.
Chronic alcoholics.
Or before to get
themselves chronic
ready.
Alcoholics that they're hand-picking, I suppose.
Where is this? I'm sorry? Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
So you know they're stoned.
That's true.
They're causing, the ones that are causing a nuisance in the park, and they're saying, you know, hey, there are fights, there's noise, all kinds of things going on. So they're saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you this. And it's, what is it, two? They give them beer at, like, say, in the morning. Of these five beers, here are two beers. And then they clean, and then they get...
It's almost like giving them a Red Bull. Like, they take two Red Bulls, and they go clean.
Whatever gets you through it.
No, I understand that, but I'm just trying to equate it to, you slip somebody a Red Bull, like, clean the next half mile.
That's right, exactly.
And then you get another one.
Do you think I can give my Gaber estrogen tabs, because he's transitioning? If he, like, cleans the street, can I give him...
Ooh, that's very Orange is the New Black.
Is that the neighbor with all that shit in their yard? All that
to the left. My Gaber's to the right, and he's transitioning. But
time out. To the right when you're walking out her door.
Yeah, when you walk out my house. The left
when
is
you're
the
looking
trash
at
house.
The house.
The right is the Gaber's.
Trash house.
I'm so glad that my trash dumpster, Chico and the Man people, are gone.
South.
I love how across the street, I have Hulk in the Yippers. That's the
hippie guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the hippie guy.
Oh, Abraham.
Oh, that's two to the right. He showed me his lemon tree the other day. He's huge lemons.
I love a metaphor.
Well, you got some big lemons.
Just one twig, two lemons. It's a tree, ladies and gentlemen.
We thought it was a weed, but no, sir.
Turns out that's
keep
a full-on
citrus.
Just
bigger than a bush. He said aloha.
Aloha.
Well,
anyway, so. But I thought, what a good idea.
Why can't we do that here?
I say to employ these people. There's all this, like, all these places are filthy. Give them some cash. Sure. Give them what they need.
Yeah, but do you remember there was a huge fucking thing, huge blow up in Wisconsin years ago when the governor came out and said, okay, and some people get all shades of pissy about this, but I'm going to say that I did not disagree with what they did at all. It was one of those things where, you know, get a job. Try to get any job that you can for welfare, okay, as far as getting any kind of assistance. And I speak from having gotten assistance in the past. Mm-hmm. So when people who haven't ever had to do that speak, they really need to fucking think it, because they don't know. And the idea of getting a job is something that, you want to find something. I mean, you'll do anything. And let me rephrase. Some people will, right? Some people will.
So what was
other
the, what
people
was the,
won't.
What was the program that they...
In Wisconsin, it was, you know, people would say, well, I can't get a job. I can't. And they were belligerent about it, but they certainly wanted the assistance.
Right.
Give me the handout. And I say that in that way.
Okay.
Because they refused to go look for any kind of work. So the governor said, okay. Well, there are parks all over town, full circle with what we talked about earlier, that need people to pick up dog poop. And they were pissed. It was on 2020.
It's below me.
It's a job.
But if you're homeless, I don't see what's...
No. This wasn't about homelessness.
It's almost like cleaning up your own living room.
And this was not about homelessness.
And I'm willing to exchange homeless for, like, sex offenders. Like, take the sex offenders and don't put them in pink jumpsuits and make them sleep in tents. Make them come to my neighborhood and clean up.
Oh, I completely agree. Like, it doesn't matter. And I'm not trying to compare at all. And I know that you're not prisoners with welfare recipients in that kind of way. But this wasn't about homelessness.
Oh, I mean people that are so off the grid. I don't mean welfare recipients. Because a lot of times they give the women low paying. They work at fucking Walmart, the scum of the earth.
Uh-huh.
They work at Walmart.
But if that's
and
what
then
you
they
can do and you can get some kind of money.
But then they can't afford the child care for the person that has to babysit their kid while they're working. So you end up in the hole.
Absolutely.
I know someone who's a nurse who cannot afford the child care as a nurse to pay for 3 days
it's
of working.
Amazing.
Like, ends
it's
up in the
amazing.
Hole for how much child care costs.
And all of
if
that.
If you don't have the village, you're fucked.
Don't confuse it being in the hole with a clean canal. Totally different topic.
Totally different.
Aloha.
Yes.
Anyway, but without being too.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting stuff. It crosses that border of like ultra liberal and very conservative. Right. Like pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
People need help. It's a very fine line. It's an interesting conversation.
And my deal
that's cutting
is,
into my entertainment time.
My deal is truly
and my sports and stuff.
And mine is right in the middle. Like where I stand on it is
I
just,
do too.
Don't ever look up and say that you won't do that because it's not. That's I'm not going to do that job.
Oh yeah,
what?
I've
get your ass out there.
I fried tacos at Taco Bell, and I've worked at McDonald's at the counter. Actually, I wasn't even pretty enough to work in the counter. I had to work in the back at McDonald's when I was a teenager.
You weren't wearing the right wig, I'm sure.
18 or 19. Like I've had the lowest.
I do this shit and not get paid for it. Like I go to the end of my street. Okay, I've always had a thing about.
But that's a hobby of yours. There's a difference.
Well, no, I understand that, but I'm like.
Nothing's beneath somebody though. Go out and fucking do it.
Yeah. I see weeds growing in the gutter up there where when it does rain, because when it rains in Arizona, typically it's a gully washer and fucking water's everywhere.
It's a what?
A gully washer.
So that's how you get a clean canal. Please use your gully washer correctly.
Aloha.
Just squirt your gully washer right up there.
You leave my gully washer out of
there. Oh, hi Kalani.
Oh, terrific.
I mean, I go
and a squirt of coffee.
I clean the gutters. I mow grass up around there. I mean, I do things in the neighborhood just because.
Can you come to my neighborhood?
Actually, and one of the things that drives me nuts because he and I've ridden through it 100 times over the canal. You've got the bridge that crosses the canal, Third Avenue.
Right.
I go and cut those trees all the time because I don't want to ride through. First of all, I don't want to ride through and hit my face with a tree branch.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Number two. Sure. I know that there's a lot of dark areas around there, so I try to keep the trees all cleaned up just because I don't want to walk right through there and some fucktard sitting there with a gun or a bottle or whatever. So I want to be able to see everything.
Well,
and
you know
for
what
safety.
It takes to get someone out there to actually do that.
Right. And I also got the donor network, the building that's right there. I got Ryan Nelson and the donor network to clean the entire canal all along that fence because it was all dark and you couldn't see through it.
Yeah.
They cleaned all that out.
Yeah.
Ma'am. You have the floor, Aaron. Hernandez.
Thank you.
Ernie Hernandez. I loved you on Chico and the Man.
Yes, well,
thank you.
Murderer.
Was it murder?
Aaron Hernandez.
So,
fuck. My bad.
Wow, did we get there?
Aloha.
Different spelling.
Aaron Henderson. Also, squirts and stuff. That was my other story.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
makes me kind of want to fuck you while you kill me.
I don't know what's happening
right
now.
Well, this is very awkward.
I was just going to say this.
Very awkward indeed.
But I appreciate the fact that you said that and you reminded me of that. Because as I walk my dogs, I'm constantly in my head or out loud to myself bitching about my fucking glass of ruin. I can get my fat, lazy ass up and I can go fix those problems in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And thank you for reminding me of that.
But you know what you can also do?
And you
do?
Know what? That applies to my whole life.
And I don't know.
Can I bitch about it or can I fix it?
And I don't know what I don't know what the situation is in your neighborhood, but I was wonderfully 12 years ago. I moved into a neighborhood that was active and is still very active in a neighborhood association. It's not an HOA.
The Green Gables. We have meetings once a month.
You have meetings.
At a church.
You go and you get city grants and you get flashlights and you get all kinds. You get signage that says
there's
no
like
dumping, and you get a block watch. You do all that shit. Yes,
watch.
All that shit. You can get all that, and that's what has happened here. We get, you know, they hand out mailboxes and porch lights that are on electric eyes and timers, and we get all of this like the speed humps that are here.
Right.
All of that stuff is all done by grants because people get pissed off because people cut through and they drive and they have the dog thing.
And I can say that I'm too busy. When do I have time? Or I can get off my ass and I can help be part of the solution. So
that's
thank
it.
You for
You're very welcome. Yes. Aloha.
Aloha.
Very important. And I've noted and the green grass, because we're just going to kill the rest
headlines,
of the
headlines.
I have one more little story, but we're going to wrap it up.
But
I love you, honey.
Love you.
Well, I love you too.
Much, love
but
you.
As my gabers and I keep escalating the like, we have like, we both hired people new because we're gays. So both hired people to make our lawns look very nice. And now the house that's on the corner, my house, the gabers, and then this older lady who's very nosy. She doesn't seem to be able to stop crying, but she's very nosy about everything else.
It's me.
She sits
always
there.
Calling my precinct.
Yeah.
Somebody picking through my trash again.
No.
Go get them.
Absolutely call the cops.
I do.
So as she's been watching, and now the house on the other side of me is cleaned up, two houses to the east of me have been remodeled. She's all excited because she's like, I've lived here for 1,000 years. Yeah. this property value is going up. I should have bought the Red Door house. So now her and her weirdo, I don't know, husband or whatever he is, they sit in lawn chairs a foot away from the person they've hired to do their yard work. And
shut up.
I think he's a prisoner. But
they're a prisoner or a prisoner from like jail.
No, I think he's their prisoner. But their lawn looks nice, so I'm really not complaining.
Maybe he works at Walmart.
But the funny thing is while he like puts bricks around their trees and has been cleaning up their yard, they sit in lawn chairs, and I am not making this up. They sit a foot away from him on lawn chairs and stare him down.
Aww.
And I've been watching it go on for the last month. And so I was on my bike the other day and I went that way and I'm like, oh, well, the prisoner's doing really nice yard work. Like, maybe I can offer a canned good or something to make sure he's properly fed here in this holiday season.
He'll turn it into a shiv.
But you have to come over.
The old people will be dead, but besides that, the lawn looks fantastic.
Set it free, off my lawn.
The best part about it, though, is because they leave the lid up, the brightly lit Jesus in the manger scene up till like way after Jesus should be older. You know what I mean? Like Jesus should clearly be played
be his first birthday
by an actor that's a little bit older. But the lit
Sam
up Jesus
Elliott
stays
should play
there.
Jesus.
So I'm trying to figure out.
Every time someone says Sam Elliott, my first thought is that Sam from the Muppets. That, and then I get the real Sam Elliott. I keep going, sorry.
So I'm just cracking up because I'm like, I can't wait to figure out how the prisoner is going to tend the lawn while the lit up Jesus is between them and the lawn chair. Like, I can't wait to see this all play out.
Can you name this week's show something about the prisoner on the lawn and the lit up Jesus?
Write that down. Prisoner
with a shiv.
Lawn.
But every day, and I want someone to be out there with me, but nobody works my hours. So whenever I see the prisoner, I'm like, I just want to be like, oh, someone come look at this guy that's
lawn
doing
chair.
Yard work 1 foot away from a lawn chair.
And old people.
And then the other
I'm just
going to
call it Block Watch.
Yeah, Block Watch. That's even better.
I love it.
So there used to be a homeless guy that stood at the, I don't know if he's homeless,
watch.
But he had a lot of free time. But he would stand at the tree across from my house and stare in my front window. And I used to call him Tom.
I call that a stalker.
My dog would eat him.
When I was doing my cooking show on the Missy Al Network, I named him Tom, and he was my security for the Missy Al Network.
Who people thought
I
was real?
From Jerry Springer.
Like, I gave him a name, and he had a backstory. It was like he was my doll.
Oh, my God, I love it.
So now he's been replaced by the lovely lawn human across the way who sits in his lawn chair and stares in my window from in front of his townhouse. And so I wave at him in the morning, I don't have pants on. I stand there on purpose because I sleep in a t-shirt with no pants.
Stop
and
it.
I wave at him.
I'm coming over whenever, not because you don't have pants on.
Oh my
whenever,
God.
Whenever those hours are, I want to come and watch the lamp.
Oh, it's hysterical. I don't know what he could be looking at because he's just staring in my front window, so I give him a show.
It is the end of hour two. We are.
I'm still awake.
We are going into hour three. Al coming back with entertainment. Thoughtful vulgarities coming up and something about a lawn ornament, but we'll leave that to them. We'll
a
be back
gnome.
Right after this. Oh my God.
God, that's great.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, 9 o'clock. It's the beginning of hour three. And if you made it through hour two, well, you're doing better than the rest of us. Holy calosaurus. That was so funny. The ending is so funny. But if you don't understand what a block watch is, you really should figure
You should you not should, move to Al's neighborhood.
You should figure out what a
prisoner
block watch is and get a load of it.
Prisoner watch.
Do not pick
God
up
damn it.
Oh my God.
That is very, very funny.
And anyone who might be online right now and they're going to be watching the latest video, it's that retaliatory garden lighting.
Retaliatory garden lighting. That is one of my
gosh.
Favorites.
Oh, that
yeah, because online, that's
shit.
Been the show online since we started. Is that still playing? Are we even on?
No, we're on.
Oh, I'm just, yeah. I'm just laughing because retaliatory garden lighting was the show God. That was playing when we started.
Sometimes,
it really?
Sometimes it doesn't click up an update, but according to this, we are on. Is. We are on.
Oh, and your mom watches us. She was
and
in Texas.
Mom watches. Well, she's watching actually, so she hears the
she always
retaliatory
funny.
Garden lighting. Your light, me. Dog right in the middle.
Okay.
God, I love that. Okay, so beginning of our, we're running really late, but it doesn't fucking matter. I'm going to save the story, the last story that I had in the headlines for next week. But at this point in time, we should just give him the rest of the whole other hour, but we won't.
Oh, we'll share it.
Please welcome Al Perkins.
Well, and what's clearly old news, Tom Daley came out as gay. The award show season has officially kicked off today. The ones that I count started today. Wolf of Wall Street got its official premiere. We have a big, exciting movie that's going on. Paul Walker's dead.
Still dead.
Tired of hearing that, really.
So's the guy with the other guy in the car.
Yeah, oh, poor thing. To be the person that died with John, the girl that died with John Jr. and the wife.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wah, wah.
She gets wah-wah.
Well, that would be the girl's sister.
Yeah.
Yes, Carolyn Bessette's sister.
The wife's sister.
Yeah. I know, so sad.
Lauren.
So we'll start
Did you make that up?
No, her name is Lauren.
And now, what is her name that sits over there? Whatever her name is, Connie.
Katie. Connie.
Same thing.
Thank you for messing up her name.
Connie Jung.
I honestly don't know anybody's name. So anyway, Connie's favorite show, The Walking Talking Dead, had their season finale now everybody has these fall finales that they're all doing.
Bullshit. Stop taking the breaks.
Just to make sure that we know that they're not going to play anything through Christmas, because no one watches TV through Christmas, so we don't waste any advertising dollars. I do too.
Yeah.
But The Walking Dead mid-season finale or fall break or whatever it was espectacular, as they say in Colombia.
What? Oh, I don't think that's what they say.
Yeah, no, it is. Espectacular. They mean spectacular in Spanish.
Okay.
So anyways, it was so good. And seriously, nothing and no one was sacred. There was no one safe in this episode. They were killing people off left and right. And then you go to The Talking Dead, and if you watch...
Is this when people were crying about somebody getting...
Right,
can I stand by for a minute? Yeah. Is The Walking Dead really different from The Talking Dead?
Yeah, The Talking Dead is the talk... It's like Watch What Happens Live.
Oh, okay, yeah. Andy Cohen, I get that reference. Right. Okay, keep going.
And I always say...
carpet I'm sliding.
The Talking Dead has become like must-see TV, especially if you watch it alone like I do a little bit later and you don't have anyone to talk to about how good the show was. Right. Then The Talking Dead comes on and they'll have some cast members. They have fans.
So Andy Cohen, Watch What Happens Live. Yeah.
So, and whatever her name is, she's on Parks and Recreation, the big black lady, Regina, I can't think what her name is.
I love her.
She goes by one name. Turns out she's a huge fucking fan and she's the best guest.
Oh, she's fantastic. Oh.
So they had... Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie, and they had Scott Wilson, big actor. He's in Cold Blood. He's in like a great, great actor that's been on the show for seasons. And then they had one of the main producers on. They killed off a beloved character. I mean, in the most grisly, gruesome, unexpected way, they killed off like one of the leads in the show, and it was just like, bam, cut your head off, fuck you. Actually, not even cut your head off, just put a blade in your neck and watch you bleed to death and crawl to your
death. End.
It was horrible. So then they bring the actors on, and this poor actress is talking about the death of this character and like how much she loves him and how sad she is that she's not going to work with him and what a pleasure it was to have him as a coworker. And she thought of him as a mentor and a father figure. Go back 1 week, and at the end of last week's Talking Dead, the guy that hosts it, he's a comedian, I can't think of his name, at the very end, at the very end of the episode, he just says, I would like to dedicate this show to my dad, who passed away on Friday, and it's been very sad, and I really didn't know if I could do the show up until the last minute, but Chris Hardwick, he's like, thank you, you know, to my dad, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for your words of support if you had heard about it. And I was like, oh my God, what like a non-Kardashian way to go out, to wait till the end of the show and just say it as a goodbye and walk away. So now you know that, I mean, his father had just died. So you figure the funeral was afterwards.
Sure.
So he
Heart
has,
attack.
Yeah. So he has to go back and now deal with this woman. And it's a fictional story, but you know how when you're kind of emotional and you're feeling something? Right. So here's this woman crying about a father figure dying and going on and on about losing, and he's trying to keep it together hosting the show, and you could tell he's a raw fucking wound.
Aww.
So she's kind of tearing up and keeps apologizing for getting teary-eyed about her father figure leaving, and then you can see them cut back to Chris Hardwick, and he's like taking deep breaths and like he's glassy-eyed with tears, and he's like trying to get through it and like, please throw it to some, and they just kept bringing it back to a father figure dying. Ugh. And what do you do? And I'm like, oh my God, don't you guys watch this show? Like, this is not the week.
Oh.
And she's like, I didn't even think I should come on because I'm so emotional. And here's him like, my real dad just died. It was And it, I cried through the whole thing. It was so, and it was one of those things of just watching someone who's usually funny try so hard to be strong through a story. It was very touching. Aww. But The Walking Dead from this week was spectacular. I mean, I stayed off Facebook because I didn't want any spoilers because I was a little late to the party.
Sure.
So
people do that all the time.
Right. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Just putting shit on Facebook. We're like, stop it.
So we're going to go to another web. Well, The Wolf of Wall Street actually got some nominations in, and I cannot remember. It's the International Film Critics Award, and they're the people that were like, thought that the Hollywood Foreign Press was such a joke that they broke off and made their even more lame and unimportant award show. So they nominated The Wolf of Wall Street for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor for Jonah Hill. And everyone was like, no one has screened this movie yet. You can't nominate it. We know that you're trying to get buzz and ratings. They're like, we don't have a TV show, so we don't have ratings. And yes, we saw the movie. So it turns out that The Wolf of Wall Street did get its premiere last week. And from what I've heard, Leonardo DiCaprio, role
of
a lifetime.
I've never even heard of this
movie. It's the Martin Scorsese one where Leonardo DiCaprio is the guy that's like, last year I made $50 million and I was just pissed off because I was $2 million short of $1 million a week. And it's getting great buzz, and they're trying to get ready for Christmas. They want Leo to get another Oscar nomination. He has zero shot of winning, but they're trying to get him a nomination. Yeah. And it's supposed to be – it's a Martin Scorsese, but Jonah Hill, I guess, comes through. And guess who's in it? No one else but Matthew McConaughey. Buy one, Matthew McConaughey.
Get one free. Aloha!
Absolutely. He's in it. And another one that they're saying, like, he has so many – there are so many chances to nominate this man for – something somewhere, and then he's got a new TV series starting in January on HBO.
Oh.
So you honestly, I think he's cloned himself, and I think we should look into the scientific possibility that there's something going on.
He's
there.
He's hanging out with that Leah Remini and her Scientology.
That's right.
Oh. Oh, I hope he doesn't fall into that. So Paul Walker dead, and it's very sad.
Wah, wah.
Although I really only saw one movie with him, and it was called Joyride, and I really liked it. But ironically, everything his movies are about cars, and not ironically, but coincidentally. And dies in a car.
Oh, yeah. Good call. I didn't even think that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If that's what you, that's what your deal is, then good.
Very mild book club selections.
If you gotta die.
Yeah, if you gotta die. Stephen King's new one, Dr. Sleep, is one of the greatest books I've read in the last 10 years. It is hypnotic. Mm. I read most of it in a day, and I honestly kept forgetting where I was. I kept looking up and being like, am I? And I was in the dark. I had a candle burning. I was reading the book. I read it over the course of 9 hours. I'm like, am I in my bedroom or my living room? Like,
are you at home?
I was in my living room.
He didn't have his pants on, and Tom was staring at him.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Tom.
Yep, and the Watcher. But
Tom and the Watcher. I got Hulk and the Appies. You go. Tom and the Watcher.
A little while ago, one of my favorite books was called In the Heart of the Sea. It's by Nathan Somebody. It's the true story of Moby Dick. And it really does tell the story, and it's not a venereal disease. Yes.
You can keep going. I'll go when you're finished.
Well,
I just wanted to, you said Moby Dick, and I just wanted to mention, for those of you
venereal diseases?
Yeah, those two. If you are a Phoenician and you like changing hands, they're trying to do crowdsourcing to open their downtown one, and they have a shirt that says, it has a picture of a whale at the very top. There's a little ocean, a guy in a boat, and it says, "Who you calling Dick?" And so you can buy that and donate to Changing Hands. They can open downtown.
Nathaniel Philbrick.
Yes, yes. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And it's the true story of, because Moby Dick was a true story.
Revenge of the Whale.
And this
who
is.
Who you calling Dick?
And this is the story, the true story of like what whalers went through in that time period. And it's a brilliant, beautifully written book called In the Heart of the Sea. Ron Howard's directing. The movie opens March 15th. And I guess something happened, and they got flooded. So we'll get to award season very quickly. Today was the very first of
Funny. They got flooded.
Exactly.
In the Arctic Sea. That's funny.
Again, not ironic, but we'll go with it.
A little irony there.
A little bit tiny, but not enough.
Oh, and that Chris Hemsworth is in it, huh?
Yes, because that's becoming Ron Howard's new favorite. So I always thought, and I have to admit to being wrong, that I always thought that the National Board of Review was the first awards that were presented each year. But it turns out New York Film Critics has always been a day early. I guess I just never saw it. So National Board of Review is tomorrow. They often get Best Picture wrong, but they're pretty good on actors. New York Film Critics mostly get Best Picture right. They're mostly wrong on acting. But American Hustle, which I told you last week, they finally did the premiere. They finally showed it to critics, and everybody was like, the reaction was kind of mixed as to, like, okay, this movie's way more involved and more plot-heavy than we were expecting. We thought this was going to be like a 70s romp. But Jennifer Lawrence, amazeballs.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden, New York Film Critics comes in and American Hustle wins Best Picture. And Best Director goes to Steve McQueen, 12 Years a Slave. American Hustle gets Best Screenplay, and it gets Best Supporting Actress for Jennifer Lawrence. So, I mean, they were not whistling out their ass about these awards. Yeah. Now, here's a movie that I saw this week that I have to tell you, avoid. Maybe rent it, but do not go see this movie. It's called All Is Lost, Robert Redford. I felt like I was watching
Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah,
one?
I felt like I was watching a Nat Geo. What's it called when they do a dramatic reenactment, but they forgot to get Morgan Freeman to do the voiceover? I just don't get it. Yes, he's stranded at sea and he looks very sad, but there's no dialogue. He says fuck. The only line of dialogue really spoken in the movie is the word fuck.
He could be on this.
It was brilliantly
cunty fuck.
He did say it brilliantly. I do have to admit that I felt his pain when he said fuck. But other than that, I'm like, here's my two options for you. If somebody sees it, please offer it up, send it to our Facebook. Tell me, do you think it's about the danger of litter? That no matter how well prepared you are, litter will fuck you up, or you have to get rid of everything you own, burn the rest, and then you'll finally touch the hand of God. I don't understand what the hell this movie was about or why I spent 90 minutes watching it.
I don't
90
know
plus
if it,
minutes.
Touching the hand of God is important enough to burn my. Like, I like my bed.
No, I mean, really, but seriously, stuff. Like, touching the hand of God was clearly a big point of this movie, but I don't know what it was. And all I thought was, if Robert Redford wins Best Picture, I need something to throw at my TV that will not break it. I mean, wins Best Actor, because I do not get that fucking movie.
Yeah, but you don't think he will, do you? I mean, isn't that just kind of a nod to Redford?
No, but he, on goldderby.com, which is my new crack.
Or is this like Castaway? This is like Tom Hanks?
But this is someone who's owed an Oscar. This is someone with a long, storied career, only one previous nomination for The Sting. He does have a win as director for Ordinary People. Everyone's gonna think it's his time. He is the Sundance Film Festival. Like, he is a god amongst movie lovers and moviegoers. So it could be time to, he could get a political Oscar that you're like, oh my god, everybody else's category is so much better. And in a strong Best Actor category, I am sorry, you can sail. Ordinary People is about a sailboat thing goes wrong. The Way We Were's most iconic shot is on a sailboat where, well, at least I didn't lose Katie.
He's the same age as Burt Reynolds. He's 77.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes Reverend. Sense.
Also, he's not a prime number.
Still looks good. So, and then Best Supporting Actor.
No, I'm just throwing the age out because it's like, if we're not going to give it to him posthumously, we should think about getting
but
it.
But that's a good word to
make. Yeah, he already has his fucking Oscar. He's a director. But anyways, so Jared Leto wins for Dallas Buyers Club. An amazing win. And now the goldderby.com, my personal crack has said it's Jared's to lose. Like, Oprah may not win. She's probably not going to win a lot of critics' awards.
Okay.
But once you get to TV time, when everybody votes for someone they want to see on stage, Oprah wins. Okay. Oprah will not win these small little awards, but still Oprah's Oscar, and no one's arguing. Everyone's saying she probably won't walk away with one critics' award, but she will sweep anything that's on TV.
For fuck's sake.
Okay. Yeah, but no.
It is the greatest performance. I have not seen
her performance in that movie that we saw in her car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Amazing. Like that.
Okay, if it wasn't Oprah and it was somebody else, would you still think it's amazing?
If they performed that way.
If you gave a character with that many colors. In a year where, I mean, there's a new test and it's in Entertainment Weekly this week. And if the thing is, you have to find a movie where two women have a conversation that's not about a male character. And they have a conversation. They do something that's not to benefit the man. And any conversation they have with another woman is not about a man. Okay. And only two movies this year passed.
Okay, The Butler and what else? Do you know?
No, and they had to give it to Gravity because at least she's talking about herself. But there is just I'll bring it in to show
I'm
you.
I'm not an Oprah fan. I'm the only one in the whole fucking world who's not an Oprah fan.
No,
he is
not
an Oprah fan.
God, I could kiss you.
Hater.
But
I have no use for
Oprah.
I wasn't
as blown away as ever. Maybe it's because I didn't like Titanic because of the hype. Maybe I didn't.
But I think I'm the only one that's hyping her. And this Inside Llewellyn Davis, wins Best Cinematography, Best Screen, it wins some awards. And then we're done with that thing. Let's get off this
next
page. Next tab. Now, the short list for documentaries is out. And the important things to see, if you're going to see a documentary this year, of course, Blackfish, because Blackfish is doing really well. everywhere.
Is that sad? Can I watch that or no?
Oh, God,
oh
no.
No, I can't watch that. Oh, God, that's a SeaWorld one.
That's the one I told you you can't
watch.
Oh.
No, I can't watch it.
I watched that and went, no.
I was captivated by something, another story I was reading. I'm sorry. What were you talking about, Blackfish?
They made the short list because documentaries, everyone doesn't get to vote on documentaries. You have to be on a select thing and you absolutely have to go to a screening and you have to sign in to say you saw the movie.
I would have to Google it right quick to find out, but there was a thing that came across somebody's Facebook, a band that was booked to perform at SeaWorld.
It was canceled. Bare Naked Ladies. They're Canadian and the tie-in, and I forgot it exists.
Good on them.
If I could just throw myself into the story.
Why not? Al, it's your fucking segment.
Is I forget that in Niagara Falls, Ontario, there is something called Marine Land and Game Farm, and it's an amusement park with a whale show, a dolphin show.
Right.
And is it akin to?
Yes, it's the Canadian SeaWorld, and it's a cold climate park, but they keep them penned up all through the winter because who the fuck wants to go to a water park in the middle of, you know, 2 degrees.
So for however many months they sit there.
So it turns out that as I was on the fanboy page for Blackfish, they've been doing all these screenings in Niagara Falls to get Marine Land to have to, because they're Canadian, it's not SeaWorld. They want them to follow the same rules as SeaWorld is now being forced to.
Yep.
So they're doing all these screenings, and it was those fans that called Bare Naked Ladies, they're Canadian, and said, do not do the SeaWorld show, and they sent them the documentary, and they said they would watch it, they would process, and they're like, fuck no.
We're not going to be associated with
that. We want nothing
to
do with them. So on your documentaries, Blackfish made it to the top 15, which is good, because usually these movies that are very good, Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer, about the imprisoned...
The band.
Yep. The band. Mm-hmm. And now from what I've heard, the documentary to find and watch is called The Act of Killing, and... I'm just going to spitball it here. What they do is they get, I want to say Cambodia, they get people that were accused of committing atrocities to explain in terms of film what they did. It's their way of apologizing. So they can use any film genre, any movie script, and try to tell their story through film. Whether they were the people that were... like somehow tortured or they were the torturers. It's a way for them to come together and tell the story of Cambodia. That may be completely wrong, but the idea of getting people to put into cinematic language. To put through cinematic language what they went through in Cambodia. Very interesting. But that has turned out to be the one that everyone is talking about because it's got a Hollywood angle. You know, the only way to win an Oscar is to make it about the Holocaust. But in this case, this could be the way because you want to appeal to the Oscars. So that's it with that. The Gotham Awards are an independent movie thing, and this Inside Llewyn Davis, this movie that has been talked about for 9 fucking months, and my friend and I that went to the movies yesterday, Kevin, were like, just show us the goddamn movie. I've been watching previews for this thing for 9 months. Show the fucking movie. It's the new Coen Brothers movie.
Yep.
Everyone's raving about it,
about
but you got to release it so someone can see it. If we're not allowed to see it, we can't vote on it.
Sometimes people get bored with it, and they're like, fuck you.
Well, no, but then you're just annoyed. Like, stop giving it awards unless you release it and let someone who watches awards do it. Let me think if there's anything else. All right, so now we're going to get really uber personal here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry because I'm going to hijack the whole fucking thing.
Shocker.
I know.
Hey, aloha.
It is 9:20.
I'm so kidding you. I'm kidding you.
I played that
thing. It was almost my show for a minute.
We'll see. So we'll kind of make this something else.
Hijack.
So I went to a movie that's been getting a lot of press, and it's Judi Dench.
Mm. I know what you're talking about.
Philomena. The story of a woman searching for her adopted son, and it's another story of Irish Catholics or just Irish people doing horrible things.
Is it adopted son or the son she gave up?
The son she gave up for adoption.
Got it.
And she decides around, I think, Christmas time, she has a little breakdown, and she finally tells her family that she gave up a baby and her story of being in an Irish orphanage. In an Irish orphanage
during
where they sold
famine.
The women. Right. They sold the Irish people just fucked up. And Catholics fucked up. So they took these.
Hello, Mr. McKee.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm an alcoholic who needs to pick up trash.
Yeah.
There's a vaccine for that.
Yeah.
Trash?
There was a movie a few years ago about these girls that were in these Irish orphanages and basically used for slave labor. And I can't remember what the name of the movie was. This is just an extension of it. Her father put her into the convent. Because he didn't want anything to do with her being pregnant. She had no idea. Her mother had died. She was convent raised. No one told her what the what the facts of life were, where babies came from. She gives birth to a baby, and then she has to work for 4 years, 7 days a week to pay off the debt for taking care of the baby. The orphanage is right next door. They get an hour a day with their babies, and then they were selling the babies to people with $1,000.
Oh, wow.
And it's her journey to find her son. And this movie, and Judi Dench is, she can do no wrong. This woman is just at the top of her game at her age. Phenomenal performance.
Did you say, is this based on a true? Yes, is this an actual?
It's an actual story. And they pretty much went note for note with the real story, as far as I could tell. There is an actual book. Again, I read the magazine article that promoted the book, and it seemed like they kept pretty close, and they used the actual footage of the kid.
Mm.
Just sat there, watched the story. It has some twists I did not anticipate coming, and I just kind of went numb. A brilliant performance. And Steve Coogan, usually a comic actor, very funny, British movies. He's one of those people that you would know him if you saw him, but you can't place anything he's been in.
In the trailer that they're showing, he's the other...
He's the journalist.
The gentleman that they're... Yep,
he's the journalist that helps her find the story.
Okay.
He co-wrote it, produced it, stars in it.
Wow.
Beautiful movie. So I got home last night, had a little soul-searching... And started the journey to find my birth mother.
Holy crap.
Wow. So I'm going to very gently give an aloha.
Yeah. And it has been a rough 25 hours. I hired a private investigator today and started that. And that was very traumatic and a very difficult phone call.
Wow.
I sent letters to my sisters last night that they, one just wrote back, she was in shock. The other one has not responded to me, but... I texted my brother-in-law, who's like, well, it's time to do something. And he's like, I'll help whatever I can. I went onto a website called adopted.com. Please do not go on this website and read these stories for any reason. They are gut-wrenching and horrible. And it was terrible.
So that movie was that powerful for you, huh?
And...
Though you started that segment with saying it's just an extension of something else. Yeah. And now we find out that it really is a little...
It has been a very rough day. And, you know, waiting to hear back from people and that adopted.com will kill you. And so I...
if you need someone to sit there and open bottles of wine for you while you just sit there, I sure will.
He can open his bottles by himself.
No, he just wants to hang out is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the kinship you two have is there's an adoption story there. Right. So at the end of the table...
It was definitely time and I... they had all these clues and they were like, let as many people you know, the cousin that I always talk about that gave up her crib so that she had to sleep in a big girl bed so I could have a bed because it was so unplanned. She has all these foster kids and has adopted kids. So I talked to her about, I sent her, she's in shock. She hasn't gotten back to me yet because I'm like, I need to know how to get to the New York State system. And it has been a roller coaster of a day. And then the girls that I grew up with on my block that I call some of them, you know, they're like my sisters. I'm like, your mom was best friends with my mom. I need to know stories. It's time that everybody sits down. I need the gossip. I need stories. I need everything going on. And it has just been a 25-hour crying cycle. I finally took... I didn't know how to get a hold of my brother-in-law, and I really can't... This is the first time I'm saying it out loud. Everything has been, like, in text or email. But I talked to my... I texted my brother-in-law, and he was like, I'll do whatever I can. But, like, my one sister hasn't said anything back, and...
And that's okay.
Right. But I wanted everyone to be at the starting line at the exact same time. So before I went through the adopted.com or like I talked to the investigators today, I wanted everybody to like full disclosure because there's so many minefields ahead and I have to get rid of all the ones on my side.
Mm-hmm. And so, everybody at this table supports you in whatever you need from us too.
What a very, very interesting journey to partake in.
And it's way harder than I ever thought. Writing that letter last night, I think I lost about 6 gallons of water out my eyes. I was shaking and then writing the other two girls. And I was like, I need stories. And then number two, like, you have to take care of my sisters. Like, they have to know. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it was bad. So I pay the $9.95 to go on adoption.com. And you put in your information as much as you know. And it came back with a 100% match for me.
Oh.
Whoa.
And I, like, hit the button. And I read this woman's story of a baby born on May 11th, 1967 that she gave up. and I almost died. It was not my mother, but there was someone with the same story, and it almost killed me.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I didn't know to the bottom when she's in the city, because it was New York State. It was the right date. I felt like I got kicked in the stomach and then, set on fire for a little while.
Sure,
It was bad. And I was like, if it ends in one click of a computer.
Wouldn't that be wild?
I would have died. Yeah, I seriously probably would have just turned around.
Because there needs to be a little bit more to it. Especially knowing how you are, there needs to be more of a story.
There needs to be a saga.
Because best supporting actor is not going to come to you. You're not going to get any.
You can't write a screenplay on that.
And I have to tell you, that was when I read that 100% match and I clicked on the button. I mean, I'm shaking right now telling the story. I was shaking head to foot, sobbing, and I read this poor woman's story, and I'm like, I'll just say I'm your son. Like, how about that? Are you white?
No,
surprise, I'm white.
Because of my ignorance of this, because I obviously not, I seem to know who my parents are. Though, based on the size of my ass, I question. There's a question somewhere, Mom, I'm not sure.
That was only when you were tanning.
When you go on to the site, are you... I don't know how it connects. Does it only connect if somebody else is looking back for you?
Yes. And so I did one profile looking for, like, because of the way that my adoption story plays out according to the gossip and everything that I've heard.
Right.
The person that I could only find would be my birth mother.
Okay.
And then she has a family, but the father would be something that I would have to meet her to get that information.
To get that information, right.
But, or he might know something and be on there. But the other one was looking for any siblings, and that was another profile. And that was another round of, like,
you may
absolute have... heartbreak to be on this page. And these people that are looking for siblings that they were separated from as children that they remember, but they were taken away for something.
Or heard that
Do
existed.
Not go on this website.
You
don't have the emotional power. It was devastating.
Yeah.
And I told Harrison, because I had texted her last night, and she texted me back this morning, and I seriously, like, stopped crying when I fell asleep, and I woke up this morning, and I was like, it was just right back to it. And then, like, somebody, I got an alert while we were sitting here saying someone answering a text, because I'm like, well, I need to know what city, because you have the right month, you have the right state.
Everything is.
Like, what do you have? And then the picture was of a black person, but I'm like... And again, like, my urge was to be like, it's me. Like, I just want to make this story end. Like, it's
that could explain the Donna Summer affinity.
You had a white baby.
Like, oh my God, I feel like one of those fucking whales. But, like, the empathy for them is I didn't know it was there. I had never talked. And you're talking to these people online, and they're telling these stories about these separations. And I'm like, oh, no.
How long has this been an urge or a thought?
I mean, really, for 20 years. My dad will be dead 20 years in January. And there was someone in my life for a big chunk of my life that I just thought was my mother and that my family was just pretending. Like, that I thought it was someone that they just purposely kept close. Like, I thought it was like, we're never going to tell you, but this woman that's always around is really her. And I honestly thought that for the longest, until I was like 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And then my dad died when I was in my 20s. And we were sitting there at the table, and I said to my mom, I'm like, I don't know when there will ever be a good time to ask you, but I'm pretty sure this is the worst time. So I'm going to play that card.
Was Ruthie drinking at that time?
We all were.
Yeah, of course.
She started.
And like I said, I mean, this was a very understanding woman. And she offered what she knew. When I talked to the private investigator today, I love to use that word. I used to PI. Anyways, when I talked to them
Tom
today,
Selleck
I
is had what I'm
Magnum. Yeah.
Right.
I had more information than they were used to getting, so they were fairly confident. They're like, and I don't. I was seriously, and then she was like, "Well, would you want to meet her?" And I seriously started crying. I'm like, I don't know. That's not. I don't know. I don't.
Know.
I don't.
You,
I don't have
you
that
won't
yet.
Be able to answer that yet.
That's so far down the next. I don't know. Like, I really don't know what comes next, but it was just getting all the messages out to everybody that, like, it's starting. And I was like, I don't want to be I don't even want to be a day ahead of anybody. Like, I wanted, like, this is all here. And then I printed up the registry where you register, because New York State's closed adoptions are, like, sealed like a novice's ass. Yeah. Go to the nun story. And...
Not like Tom Daly.
Watertight, like a frog's ass. So
again, not Tom Daly.
Right, no.
So, or Sally Field, because she played frog.
Shit.
Thank you for Full bringing circle. That around.
I like it.
In a Trans Am. So what you do is you go on their New York State registry and you say you're looking for someone, and if they've done the same thing, then it puts the ping together. Mm-hmm. And the question on there was like, any court papers for your adoption? And I don't know. None of us, I'm not mad about anything. I was just baffled that my sister's handling everything from my parents' estate or whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, somewhere in that thing, she has to have seen my actual adoption papers. And I never, like, until yesterday at 8 o'clock p.m., I never thought that, well, yeah.
Somebody's what would you been, need them for?
But no, but somebody's been sitting on that this whole, oh, like, yeah. sitting in my mom's drawer where she kept everything that's now in a safe deposit box. Like, these papers have been, I don't know what they say, I don't know what they look like, I don't know what they contain, but they've been sitting there all this time. And the one thing that they say on the form is, if you have these papers, it will make it easier. But it was, it's a very...
Wouldn't those papers have been submitted to the court as well?
Well, so yeah, they're from the copies. Court. It's court papers.
But
no, but I mean, they would have copies.
Right. But just the fact that this has been sitting around as we've been...
I'm curious.
That's I don't know if they'd have copies, because we were talking back in the late 60s. And I mean, if you even go back into the early 80s on something, most states, and I'm going for the DMV, not for adopting a human. But if you even go back as far as into the mid to late 80s, they're like, we didn't have computer systems. There isn't a copy of anything.
Sure. Right.
They've only kept documentation since the electronic age, and it wasn't like that back in
the late 80s. My mom and my sisters are so fucking organized that there's no way those papers were misplaced or put anywhere else.
Okay. So do you assume with this, and if I'm not trying to read anything in your story that's not, so do you assume or do you know that somewhere there's a file that somebody has that is all of your mom's stuff that just is tucked away in an attic or somewhere?
And I don't I have my birth certificate that says
you were born.
That says a person was born on this date, but they became this person. I always say that. Like, my birth certificate says there was a child born on May 11th, 1967, but on June 9th, 1969, this person became Alfred Perkins.
Were you I've never heard you say this. Were you born just as a male child?
Yes.
That's what it says. Yeah.
But that my birth mother would have had to sign it. And whether or not she admitted to who the father was, I don't know. But that would be on the original birth certificate, which is sealed tighter than a frog's ass in New York State.
So, wow. But so the birthday that we celebrate for you is actually your date of birth.
Right. And then when I put in my search, I put in 2 days. But I'm like, no, because the whole story ties into Mother's Day. And it's got such a horrible, like... You know what I mean? That's my birthday. Like, I don't think anybody made up my birthday. Sure. And my mom did deliver me. Like, so far, what has gotten back to me is, like, everyone knows that...
This is what happened.
Right. And there was an adoption. The other thing that might help is that there was an adoption that, like, this woman didn't just show up at the hospital and give birth and be like, see you later. From what I've been told, the actual couple that was supposed to adopt me backed out at the last minute. So that's why I was left in the hospital.
Oh, well, so
there isn't an adoption agency that would have been involved, and that's why they were like, "Well, this baby has nowhere to go." And my mom was like,
"I got nothing. I'm good."
Yeah. Well, it was actually my father and my grandfather drunk at home, and my mom coming home and saying, "You know, there's a baby that everybody's joking I should take home." And my grandfather told my father, "You can't take a fucking baby home. You have no plan. You got nowhere to go. You both work. What are you going to do? There's no room." And my dad was so pissed off that when he woke up in the morning, he said to my mother, "Bring that goddamn baby home." She just pissed the old man off. And that really...
I don't remember you ever telling me that part of the story.
Fuck, I
just
love
another
that.
Touching part of the Perkins saga.
Aloha to a baby.
I'm hearing that blender go off in my mind.
Well, my mother's making a whiskey sour. Fuck these two old
Should
men.
Should we get the baby?
Yeah.
When are we going to call him?
And my grandfather lived with us, so that was there was even less
in
space.
The basement where you were?
No, he did. There was.
Oh, that's why you took over the basement when he died.
They tore down the wall and they made it into one big basement, but it had been a bedroom for my grandfather. And so the story allegedly goes, when I went for the actual hearing to get officially adopted, why not, I've been crying all fucking day, that my grandfather stood on the porch and said, "You come home without that baby, don't come home at all."
Oh, wow.
So my grandfather 2 years later was like, "Fuck you, the kid comes home, I don't like either one of you." But
Now that you've made this, that let this ball start rolling, and you may not get to your sports and other stuff at this point. I'm just letting you know.
I've had a planned hijack in my
talk.
So at this point, since this ball is clearly not rolling, now my first thought would be
Let's drive to New York and do the show.
Well, I'm driving nowhere, but I mean, she'll get on a big bird with a fat ass and she'll drive there.
We can drive the couch there. Car. Drive the couch car.
Well, yeah, right?
No, but I'm... You should go back to your street and you should go to every house where every one of those ladies live and say, look, here's the talk we have to have.
And we were talking about phone numbers the other day and a funny thing about I know all the people on the street's phone numbers still and they all live in their mom's houses. Yep. When I can talk about this with someone over the phone that it won't just be me sobbing in the corner, there is at least two other people. Like I know my sisters were 6 and 8, so they won't be a huge help. But I just can't imagine, with as nosy and chatty as my fucking family is, that no one just went, oh, yeah, there's a baby. Like, no one was like, well, where did that come from?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ruthie never looked pregnant.
Yeah, and especially, you know, my mom was 4'10". So you can't really smuggle a baby under that.
Well, and there are a lot of people that I know from my experience that there were people that were a little bit pissy. Because here I am, why am I reaching out to, you know, and I mean this in the most polite way, this douchebag that was like, I don't want a kid spitting up in my Corvette. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, you know.
What year Corvette?
It was really a great,
car.
So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I didn't have any kind of issues with that when I was young, so that's a problem. But.
And there's, I don't know.
And I'm not implying that'll happen with you. I just know people.
That's
and
what
it was
I'm
about
saying.
Hurt feelings, and that's all it was.
Oh, can you imagine how this is not going to be hurt feelings?
Exactly.
So I'll just share it all. What the fuck? Yeah. So we'll just tune in later. allegedly, from this story, my mother was having an affair, but she was already married. And the only way her husband would take her back is if she gave the kid up for abortion. So my father would not be part
adoption,
of the story.
Not abortion.
Adoption.
Two different words, same first letter.
Exactly. Sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Because if you're an abortion, you went terribly wrong.
Exactly.
It didn't work. That's a failure, right?
In a long life expectancy of abortion. all right. So I'll just say it. This is so horrible. But so I'm really afraid that she was raped.
Okay.
And, like, there's, like, so many minds on the other side. That's why I said I have to clear my side. Like, everybody, even if has their problems with it.
Why do you fear that?
It just makes a lot of sense.
His anger issues.
No, but my question.
Because it's 1967.
Sure. I understand.
Free love. Like, I just, right. I just, I.
But is that rape or a one-night stand?
Yeah.
Did she do a radio show and drink and all of a sudden something happened? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even tell you how many things are just
running through your head.
Flat. And I've seen a lot of movies, so I can add anything you need to this film.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. But I mean, but there's so much to it. And if you see this Philomena movie, like, honestly, like, it just took turns I was not expecting. And I cry at everything, and I honestly I couldn't come up with the reaction to it. I just didn't. I was watching the movie, and I was like, I don't even know what to.
What's going on? Yeah.
I went so numb about 3/4 through, and because I believed Judy Dench was her, like, I was like, it was just shocking. And then I went home and I read the story, and I saw the pictures of the woman and the actual boy, and I'm like, that's rough times. Mm. Like, that's. And these whole things with these stories, these people are putting these things online and they're making these pleas to, like, help them find their child. But if they're not on the same website, they might think no one's looking for them. And that's what was breaking my heart. Like,
well, isn't there like is there not a national database that's connected?
No, you have to go state by state because the laws are so different.
And how skeevy that – how much do you have to pay, $9.95 or whatever it was? I mean, that's – come on. Can we offer this for free?
But they do offer counseling. They offer to set up the meet. Because that's what I said. Like,
okay.
Because then it turns into, like, I'm a professional stalker. Like, you give me the name, I'm going to know everything in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then how do you...
I learned a bunch of shit last week that I didn't know I was going to find out either. But...
There you go.
And so that's what I thought. Like, do you take this on as a stalker or do you... Mm-hmm. Like, is it a phone call? Is it a photo bomb? Like, do you just show up in person at someone's door? Like, how do you...
Hi, you don't know me, but guess what?
Yeah. Guess where I came from.
And that's actually exactly what I did with my grandmother. I called. It was the idea that you figure... And I obviously had much different information and whatever else, but I contacted... There was Louise DeVivo and Louise DeVito. And apparently...
Danny DeVito.
Apparently it's Danny DeVito's mom.
Shut up.
What?
Yeah. So look that up. I honest to God have never looked this up. But that was...
Choice
so
number two.
Hers is DeVivo.
I called her. Marnie's DeVivo.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, DeVivo.
And I called... but I called Louise
I was like, are
DeVito.
You telling me you're related to Dan?
I'm looking no, at shit
well, that's
right now.
That I'm explains so short.
So much.
And I'm the late, height. And I'm...
The height is one thing.
I'm frumpy. I mean, you got all of
you're
it.
You're attracted to Rhea Perlman. Sorry, Ernie.
Right. You could have run a taxi company.
I don't
company.
Know what to do with happening. Happening.
Miss Piggy, yeah. Rhea Perlman. Yeah. I don't know what to do with any of it.
No, but flash to getting a hold of Louise DeVivo, when I called her, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm 19. I'm like, hi. And I felt it only right to wait a period of time. It was never a huge thing for me. But my dad died when I was 17. And so waiting, I was like 19, just about 20. And I just called. I went, like, there was something and medical.
For those of you not understanding this, when she says sorry. Dad, her adopted father, adopted. Buzz, who passed away when she was 17. So she's looking for who, what you always called the sperm donor, yeah. Right. Okay. Donor.
Honey, it looks like that's right. Yeah. This Louise DeVito.
Because supposedly I spoke to Louise DeVito. And she goes, no, I don't think you're right. Because I had practiced with Danny DeVito's mom on the phone trying to say that I was her son's kid. Oh. And she's like, no, I really don't think you are. And so we kind of went through things. Anyway, blur. But when I spoke to Louise DeVivo, she was a beautiful woman. And I felt, though, that I had to give it this time in between my dad, Buzz, passing away. And so I gave it a couple years. And when I called, it was really interesting because I just said, okay, so this is who I am. And I don't know, this is my name. And I don't know if you remember Diane McDonald, because that was her maiden name. And I said, I'm not sure. And she goes, oh, I remember Diane. And because he had asked for my mom's hand in marriage, Frank had, and my grandfather had said, no, you're too young to get married.
Now, did they know that there was a baby?
They did not. And
Diane did.
Mom was fairly aware, and Frank knew. Frank saw me. Frank saw me and my dad.
Oh, that reminds me of Beaches. I saw my dad once. Across the street.
Oh, that's right. Across the street. Yeah. My dad, Buzz, wanted to kick Frank's ass. And my dad, Buzz, was a whole lot taller than Frank and, you know, whatever. So I wish I could see that. Somebody get it on video. But he, because Frank was kind of an arrogant ass. He was 19 as well. And
that's what you get with 19-year-olds
a lot
of times.
You know, so
Tom Daly is just like that.
Ooh. But so when I got done speaking with Louise and giving her my kind of, I said, I don't want anything. Like, I don't want any money. I don't, 19, right. I don't know what, I'm not trying to get something out of this, but I think I had just gone for a medical appointment and they asked history.
Oh, and you need to know.
Yeah. Right. And it was one of the first times that I was filling it out as an adult.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, the history of that Dr. Coyne had for me. And I'm like, I don't know any of this. So I called.
But you said, now, when did you find out that Buzz wasn't really your dad?
As an only child, when I was playing Office and going through his briefcase. And
different Office.
Different,
not different, doctor.
No, Post Office.
We weren't playing that.
Got it.
But going through his briefcase. And all of a sudden, I was like, huh. And it said Marnie McDonald on my birth certificate. On one of them. And I was like, well, that's weird. Because I'm Marnie Ryer, you know. And I don't know. Maybe I'm 10.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. And then it just kind of from there. And I used to go next door to the Pinotas, who always would make like fresh sauce and everything. And I'd come running home and I'd be like, I know a part of me is Italian.
Oh, God.
I know a part of me is Italian, Dad. And he'd look at me and he'd be like, huh? And I'd be, well, because of the sauce, like I got to be there. I want just my stomach. It has to be my stomach, you know. And I would laugh about that, and he didn't. And I always thought, well, that's weird. Oh, not so weird now.
Because the DeVivos, maybe where that came
Italian,
from.
But it was interesting when Louise's grandma learned that who I was in the story, and she said, Well, don't worry about it, honey. She said, you know, I'll talk to Frankie. She said, I always thought he had a few skeletons in his closet. Mm. And so it wasn't surprising news. And there was some something with Linda Lavin that was on like a some kind of special, not an after school.
You're trying to
special.
Be related to everybody
no,
from
no,
the
no,
80s.
No, yeah. I'm not. I swear. I swear to God.
Now it's Linda Lavin.
No, there was some story, and I believe it was Linda Lavin that was in it, about a family, like a mom who had given up her child. And then the kid comes home at Christmas, like somebody knocks on the door and says, you know, I'm your daughter. And I guess Frank and his wife Karen at the time were, or his wife Karen now, were sitting on the couch, and he said, "You know, there's something I better tell you."
Oh God!
No. And that was years before. And he said, "That could happen.
Yeah, just be
just
ready
in case you hear a knock at the door." So of course, probably every time
you don't want him to alarm you, but
well, the peephole. He was also in Korea, so I might have Asian siblings. I'm not sure.
Oh, that could happen.
I don't know.
This is just going everywhere.
Well, no, but I mean, truly, like, nobody has any idea.
Well, let me say this. Your birth mother and sperm donor, whatever, would be lucky to meet you and have you in their lives. End of story. And however we can support you on this journey, we are here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And everybody,
and we love you.
Everybody, no matter what side, no matter, I mean, whether it's the adoptive family, which, by the way, I don't even understand those words.
Yeah, I don't either. That's
right? We've talked about
that
before.
That's the hard part.
That's my family. I mean, the Ryer family is my family.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will never take that away. And so, and then when people get pissed because I call, like, my sister and two brothers, my half-sister and my two half-brothers, because I don't know what to say because, you know, I get confused. So, but they're interesting dynamics. And without that sperm donor, I don't get to be here to take part in the show.
Right.
And so thank you, Frank.
Everybody played their role. Everybody played their role.
The other interesting thing to me in regards to him, because I've only met the one sister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your niece. I've met her. And
but that's not the mother of the niece. That's the funny part.
Yeah,
they travel together.
They're not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You tell me about
that. Remember that.
But the funny thing is, in regards, when I... I said this to you. For somebody who's adopted, you look like just like her.
Yep.
So it's either part of the
nature. Thing, it became a nurse.
Nature nurture.
it's like a nature nurture because
the personalities are so similar.
Oh yeah.
There's so many things that are I think are like, wow, how are you adopted?
When my Grandma Ryer first came to the airport, when my mom was going to meet my Grandma Ryer, she dove behind like this pillar because it looked just like Frank's mom walking toward her. Mm. I mean, the similarities in their build and the way that they looked. I was born...
Busty.
Yeah.
Busty.
Yeah.
And, we have cameras this week, babe.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's right. Sorry. But, and this is reduction.
Yeah, this
you know?
Is a scaled down version.
Yeah.
My Aunt Ellen, you know, she's real busty. But I fit in. My grandma's left-handed. My Grandma Ryer's left-handed.
They all talk to fucking strangers.
But, you know, you're right. Nature versus nurture.
Right.
And then when I went back and visited Frank, are you kidding me? Like, some of the stuff that was happening there was weird.
Right.
Really weird. And you kind of go, I haven't known you for 19 years.
And that's my thing with, like, I'm not really...
You don't know.
Look, and there's not a relationship that I feel, like, needs to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I would like to know if she stood in front of a record player listening to the Supremes constantly, because that mm-hmm. that will stay with me forever. Like, how did I come out just knowing the Supreme songs? Like,
so aside from that, we've probably discussed this before, but forgive me, I drink sometimes. Aside from that, wanting to know how you know the entire catalog of the Supremes, what is it? What answers? What are you looking for? Because you don't need a relationship. You don't need anything.
You have a mom,
and you have friends, and you have a life. Yeah. So what are you? What is it you're looking for? What are you looking to get answered?
Again, just been crying for 2 days. Why stop now? It's just to tell her that it went okay, that she did the right thing.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
in case she needs forgiveness or something.
That's
like,
classy.
Just,
I love it.
Like, you did the right thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if you find out you have a brother that's just fucking like you?
Oh, my God.
It'll be like we start a musical.
It'll be, no. Yes. And we'll write a play about you. We'll be on Broadway.
Oh, my God.
And I can help.
In your mid-40s.
They did that on Criminal Minds.
He wants to start a boy band.
Aloha.
45.
He's Justin Timberell.
Timberell. One dimension. My dad calls them one dimension. That's you.
In a few years, there's going to be dementia.
Wouldn't that be funny? They're both one dimension.
And that would be like, I already told you the dark side about the fantasy. The bright side of the fantasy was that whoever my father was some traveling band. You know what I mean? Some hippie with a guitar and a girlish voice.
I love it.
The Charmed with Supreme covers.
Who's the piano player?
Turns out it was Kenny Loggins, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Hey.
I keep forgetting.
Charmed here with an acoustic version of a Supreme song.
Love child. Baby love, my baby love.
Oh, God. Yeah. So can we get a camera shot of that?
There's always a darker light side to this. It needed a laugh because honestly, it's been rough. And go see this movie. It's beautifully done. She's amazing. But when you do the math of their ages, I think that's the part that really just was like a bullet to the head. And I was like, okay, like even a 17-year-old is still going to be in her 60s. At this point, you know what I mean? Like, no matter, like, it's getting to be do or die.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In the cancer cluster of Western New York.
Get Aaron Brockovich on it, and you'll be fine.
I watched that last night.
The PI that you talked to, and now we're going to use acronyms.
Yeah. I know, because it's so much fun to say.
Can we just call him Magnum?
The PI that you talked to in regards to this, based on the fact that you gave him more information than that they're used to getting, was there any attempt at a timeline?
Yeah, and I was fully expecting to get there some paperwork that I'm supposed to sign, which has not shown up in my inbox yet. But there's paperwork that I'm supposed to sign that allows them to go into the records because
just
unsolicited information. They can't just go fishing.
They're going in as my proxy is what the paperwork will say. So that paperwork has not come through. Although they said it was today, but from what they said about their inboxes, I was an emotional wreck during that conversation. Yeah. She said something about like they could have the information in like a day.
Wow. Okay, so are we being sexist now? Is the PI a she?
A woman. It was a she.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Her name is Magnanimous.
With a lovely mustache.
Yeah, but it sounded a little...
It happens to the best of us. Bang it off,
have also been scammed for a great deal of money by someone named Lauren Rock.
Maybe. Oh, my God, what a great PI name.
I know it is.
There's certain names that you have that you just have to go into certain careers.
But I went through their pages, and they seem to have legitimate stories.
Yeah.
And
I'm Googling that shit right now.
The bloggers. It's, let me see. So adopted.com was the place that do not go read those stories.
No.
I'm just going to tell you now. It's called Omnitrace.
Okay.
I'm still tempted to go in and do the Ancestry.com. Mm. I have the free profile, but I'm tempted to do the whole thing just because I honestly, you go past my great grandmother on my father's side, I got nothing.
Yeah.
I knew that. And I didn't know my mom's grandparents, like my grandfather's, I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. They were gone before I came along. So I don't know any further past that. So I don't really know where in the hell got there.
Because my grandparents were born in the 1800s, like past my grandparents, mm-hmm. not even great, my actual grandparents, there's no story. Like you have to go instantly back to Ireland to get to my grandmother's story. I think we've talked about this, that my great-grandparents were allegedly like run over by a train mm-hmm. and tossed the baby aside at the last minute kind of thing, or that might be something from a movie, but they were hit by a train.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
I don't recall hearing that. But
so it just...
Oh, he's told a lot of stories over at the other
place.
He's told a lot of stories over the past year and a half we've been doing this show.
But it wasn't just in the basement with a disco ball and Donna Summer.
Yeah.
Not all of them were.
That would be very interesting to find out why you have such a musical vein in you.
Right.
That would be very curious to find out why that is.
Because, I mean, and my parents growing up...
Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My parents growing up enjoyed music and stuff like that, but not to the retarded sense that I've
right,
taken
you've
it.
Right, you've... Sorry, the I get savant.
Now we've reverted back to that,
the
really.
Not to the savant status.
Savant. I'll go with savant. Can I have savant?
Thank you.
Yeah. You can have savant. Because
that's
accurate. Like
that's a better word.
That's a good
that's
word choice
word
that's using your brain. Thank you, Al.
That's where he is with that.
We love you,
Al.
Wow. Of our thoughtful
much.
Vulgarity.
Well, yeah, that was more
vulgarity.
Than thoughtful. That was, wow, that's crazy. Well, I'm proud of you, too. I can't even imagine.
Wine.
I can't even imagine. I honestly can't imagine.
No, brought to you by courage.
That's
a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm. And it's. I have to tell. I mean, we're 26 hours into this, 25 hours in, and it has. I have never been this much of an emotional wreck in my life.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, because you've maybe seen this roller coaster go around.
He's been a wreck so many other times on so many other fronts.
But and it really like and the two girls that grew up on down the street from me that are going to talk to their mom for gossip. It's Roseanne and Ellen. They both. Okay. They. I mean.
I was putting your friend Gina in there.
Oh no. We just went to high school.
That's right.
But if you want true heartbreak, I mean, I can the letters from them, the note back from my brother-in-law. Okay. Just on the topic of like, because I told them, I'm like, I would call your mom. I know her number, but I can't. Like, I just, I can't. Sure. Because she lived down the street from my mother when my mother was home alone as my sister had to go to work. And she, all the stories with the popsicles with my mom and all the sickness and trying to get my mom to eat and cleaning her up when she was no longer continent and all that stuff. And I've heard all those stories and they're heartbreaking enough. But then to break a confidence that my mom may have, like, I just... Sure. It's again.
Is the woman still
one more time to get me crying?
Is the lady?
Yeah, but now it would be a good time.
Is the lady still alive? About the don't you know what leftovers are?
That's her.
That's her. Got it.
Yeah. The what the fuck, Alfie?
What the fuck, Alfie? And Jared Hill leftovers.
Yeah. So that's whose brain we're gonna pick first. And and that's the thing. Like, my mom may have said something in confidence to her. Like they were neighbors and friends for 50 years. Like. Again, I just can't imagine it not coming up. And I want to go steal magnolias and go to the woman that used to cut my hair that also did my mom's hair, what the shit Elfie's hair, my friend's mom's hair.
Because the hairdresser knows a lot.
She's a hairdresser that lived at the corner with everybody and was old enough to be like, okay, a baby just came home. We're going to need the dirt. Because that's the person that I want to talk to. Like, there's got to be somebody that didn't just be like, oh, yeah, babies appear. Let's go swimming. Right. You know, let's go clean the pool. Like,
let's clean the canal, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Give him a pool skimmer. We'll get
throw
a baby.
Some coffee up her ass. Like, there's got to be someone there that was like, I got to call bullshit on this and get a story. Let's break up in a beer and hear the rest of this.
Sure, there has to be more to this.
Well, that is the biggest section of thoughtful vulgarity without it being official that we've ever had.
But I'm not the first one now. I had a second to think about it. I'm usually sitting right there for the
vulgarity.
Gotcha.
I'm
usually the first one to answer. Whatever. I'm being a selfish cunt.
It is what it is.
But me and Marnie got to play on that one without having to think about it. So.
Yes.
No kidding.
Wow.
Well, thank you for putting up with that. We'll update
by the week.
Hopefully, maybe next week a whole new update.
The show with
May
Clayton
I just
McKee.
Say quickly?
You better hurry.
Winx 2004.
Yeah. There's that. It is the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I'm here alongside this week with Aaron, Marnie, Al Perkins. We are here every Tuesday. We got two more shows for this year coming up in the next 2 weeks. Join us if you will, please. Whew! Today was a lot more than I planned on, but we will do what we do each and every end of the show. We will say this. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Woo! You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. We'll